Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
There you go. Oh, no.
That is just
go
away and die.
I deserve you guys that are on our side these days.
Yeah,
they're not.
True story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy.
Yeah.
Himself.
Right.
A man of faith. A man of hate. Right. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Yeah.
They're excited, you know.
Why?
Fact Tuesday. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. They're still just as hateful as ever. And all the ships at sea. And remember, keep the secret, my precious love. Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Right at highest. Thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show. It's a new episode. And it's, here you go. It's Tuesday. February 24, 2004.
I got Mike Buzz Burbank here.
Thank you, Buzz. I screw you up. Sometimes I do 02, 24, 04.
Today it was 2004.
Today I just had 2004.
And Rob's right.
What?
It's Fat Tuesday.
Sure is. Used to be sound effects that would accompany that on this show.
Yes.
But no more. But still.
You ever sucked
have you ever, have you ever?
Have you ever sucked the jelly out of the jelly donut?
There you go.
And then fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
Right. Happy Fat Tuesday.
Fat Tuesday.
Come on.
This show that you're listening to right now, it's the Don and Mike Show, and it's rated pretty clean.
PC. Rated PC.
Phone number is 877-365-3636. That's from anywhere in America. From Canada, 800-636-1067. DC on WJFK 202-432-1067. Your calls are always welcome, as long as they're of an exotic or entertaining nature.
Thank you.
Otherwise, just wait, and then we'll open up the phones. We take calls all the time.
Yes, we do, Bobo.
Phone scans. We got to think about the show and think about what we're doing now.
Yes.
And we've been through this with you. You know where we stand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's happening. You know what type of show we're going to do.
Right.
Well, having said that, there are a couple things we got to change.
Mm-hmm.
And not major. Nothing major.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
getting all nervous.
Kind of major. No, I'm just talking about our names.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about our fake DJ names.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the many things we got to change.
Right.
Because we used to do the Mike, both names, which had to do with something that's between the
body
sheets.
Body parts.
Between the sheets, between the covers.
Body pie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same with Alan Victor.
Right.
That, Can't do it.
They
now.
Were all about that.
Right, all about.
They were all about that.
All about body parts.
They're not going away, really.
No, not really.
Because we have one of
their
those
names have changed to protect the innocent.
Just as DJs
and the innocent
do all the
is
time.
Us.
Yeah.
We have one of those interviews scheduled today.
Yes.
And we've got to have some new names,
right?
You know, because we like doing that. So thinking that the dirty names don't work anymore. How you like this one?
Evil names.
Try this one. Hi, everybody. I'm Harry Hitler.
And I'm J.W. Gacy.
It could just be Johnny Gacy.
I'm Johnny Gacy.
No, John W. Gacy.
And I'm John W. Gacy.
Outrageous.
I think that's the way I'll say it, too. And I'm John W. Gacy.
I'm Harry Hitler with you. Good morning.
And I'm John W. Gacy. Yes, replacing the sexual names with names that are
evil people.
Right.
So, Buzz, when it's time for this bit later,
right,
you'll be introducing it. It'll be the Harry
Hitler and Gacy.
It's just the Harry and John show.
Harry and John show. Okay.
I mean, that's how we're going to, let's just let him find out that it's Harry Hitler and John.
You know what?
Gacy.
I think it's been a long enough period of time. I just watched it on the True Television Network. Maybe it was the USA that I watched the John Wayne Gacy story. Mm-hmm. So I might really just say, but I'm John Wayne Gacy.
No.
You think anybody that's with half a brain will get it?
I might as well be Adolf Hitler.
I mean,
you could say Dolph Hitler.
No, I want to save that. I want to save that name for when I'm going to be talking about my son. how proud I am. You know, now I'm not talking about me, Don Geronimo, or me, Michael Source. Robbie, where's the thing with the... They've taken out all the sound effects, and I need the new thing that shows me where the sound effects are and where the jingles are.
It's printing, and because of our fine computer network here, the printer isn't exactly moving at rocket speed, so it'll be here momentarily.
So, hold on. So, anyway, when I say that, I'm speaking as Harry Hitler.
All right, and I will not as... So then I'm going back to my original. I will be J.W. Gacy.
J.W. Gacy. So that's one way around. See, there's a fun way everywhere. Thank
or
you.
Or Michael Source. I'm just going through them right. Or I could be, and I'm Jeff Dahmer, because he was always known as Jeffrey Dahmer. So, I'm Jeff Dahmer.
Yeah, there you go.
Mike, it's pick your poison. Okay. You decide.
I kind of like Jeff Dahmer.
Yeah. Jeff Dahmer's a winner.
Excellent.
Harry Hitler and Jeff Dahmer.
You know.
Sure, that works.
I need to know, because I'll need to confirm with him soon.
Mm-hmm.
With the names. Harry and Jeff?
I've committed to Double A.
Well, I mean, if you're on your mass murderer, you got to go with the cannibal, you know, and I'm going to go with Jeff Dahmer.
Jeff Dahmer.
Yeah. Jeff Dahmer with you.
The Harry and Jeff show.
There you go.
Right.
That's it. So just be ready for that. See, this
little modifications.
This is how we're fine tweaking. But we can fine tweak and we can sure find fun out there.
Oh, we can find fun anywhere.
You know what's fun? What's fun is being married for almost 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on wood. Well, Rob, please hold off on that.
Gratuitous time.
We haven't made it there yet. But being married for all this time and...
You're going to, Don. You're going to make it because you're a fighter.
The joy. Mike saw the joy right before the show. I said, oh, I gotta call my wife.
Ah.
I said, I'm going to call her at work. Fabulous to be able to call her at work.
Mm-hmm. She's working long hours.
She's working a hell of a long hours. How could she possibly have been worried that I was going to get fired? Why, with the amount of hours that she's working, for goodness sakes, I should never have to work another day in my life.
She's working very hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of her, and it's great. But the dynamic is weird because... I'm used to having the whole time that I've known Frida, not that she's the furthest thing in the world. You know this. It's not like I'm the guy in I Dream a Genie, and the genie comes out of the bottle and says, Master, may I serve you?
It's not like that?
You know, no, my genie comes out and says, you're a pig, and you better get yourself together or you're out of here. And don't forget, everything's in my name.
You didn't get a slack burger a little bit with the recent events and all the pressure that we were under?
No, absolutely not.
You know, being a single man and living by myself, my house was in a real, and I noticed it today because today was cleanup day after we got done with everything. My house was in quite the bachelor state of disrepair.
My point is, I've been married to her all this time. Our life has been one way this entire time that we've been married. Now it's the other way.
It's reversed.
And it's so funny for me to get up in the morning and get up at the normal time and come down and have my coffee, look at the paper, and she's going, no, I've got to, you, she's saying to me, you don't understand the pressure.
Oh my God, a role reversal.
She says, you don't understand. You don't understand. I got to be downtown.
Yeah.
You don't know what it's like. Okay. Right. I don't know what it's like. Uh-huh. I don't know what it's like. All I know is that it sure is different when she calls me at work.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about when she calls me on the show,
right?
That's fine. But when she calls me on at work, even like when we're not doing the show,
right,
man, if I'm not there, you guys know how it is. I'm like a dog.
Sure.
It's like Colette gets on and goes, you know, shouldn't we? And incidentally, Colette, stop embarrassing me on the intercom when my wife calls to tell everybody that my wife's on the phone.
Don, your wife's on the phone.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed that.
Yeah, why don't you just say, you know, you just say, Don, call on 7-0. No, everybody in the building is to hear. Don, Frida is on 7-0. And, of course, I got to go pick it up. So I had a couple questions for her today. Like, we got a busted toilet in our house. We do. There's one.
I know, you were telling me about
that. It just won't stop running. Mm. And there was a problem with something else, and this is my job now to handle these problems.
Right. It's an Oreo Speedwagon commode.
So I call her up.
Keep on running.
I call her up, and I go, first, and I imagine it's the same thing that when she calls for me here. They answer the phone.
Right.
Infinity Broadcasting. She says, hey, it's me, Frida.
let me talk to him. So I say the same thing. I say, hey, it's me. You know, it's Mike.
Wow.
Hold on a second. Where'd my name jingle go? Hold on. Oh, 38.
Michael Sorge.
I call and go, hey, it's me. It's Frida there. Hold, please. Beep. And while I'm on hold at this place that she works, there's no music. There's just a beep. A
wow.
Beep. Beep. That indicates to me, you know, what you're getting is, this is a pressure situation. Where she's, yeah, it's like this. It's about
and
this all.
When you finally get through, is there a recording that says, hi, baby.
No, so she picks up and she's like not animated or anything. She's like,
hello.
Yeah.
Hello, Linda. This is Warren Cleaver. She come down with something.
No, she's it's almost that, you know the voice on her high school and college
that's what
radio
I was
thing?
Say, yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
It's almost like,
hi, this is Frida.
She picks up.
Frida here.
Like it wouldn't be me. Like, you know, like who else is going to call her at work? You know, it's your husband. I go, hey, baby, I got some stuff to tell you.
Okay. All right, listen, I really have to go. I have to go now.
Like she's standing in front of a boss or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, or a client or, right. or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and have I mentioned my wife is a prostitute?
Well, that's bad timing.
Have I mentioned that that's her chosen field?
You're but
a good one. I've not mentioned that. Yeah. I guess that's an important part of the story.
Yeah.
That she anyway. So she was with a client and she couldn't speak. But it's funny. The concept of calling my wife when she's working and she doesn't want to be bothered is funny.
Yeah.
And it's funny to have it happen in front of Mike when we're sitting in the office today. And then I'm saying to Mike,
I'm reading mixed signals from you. I don't know how you really feel about all this this work. I was trying to get a beat on it.
I'm thrilled with it.
But I think there's a part of you that wouldn't mind her being around, maybe? No? Am I totally wrong?
See, now you're going to put me in a very bad place.
I'm not trying to. I'm really not. I'm really just trying to figure it out. Because it's just... No, I mean, I don't... Okay, I'm going to shut up.
No, I just thought that you thought that what? That I'm happy? Listen, I'm not gonna...
I think you might like having her around more than you think you do.
It's... Mike... Okay, how do I say this and not be crass?
I don't want... And I'm not trying to set you up to be crass or get you in trouble or anything like that.
No, I'm not talking about...
I just
my,
think that maybe
not,
there's a part of you that...
No, listen.
Might not admit that you miss her, but you do.
I like having her around, but she's coming back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but we were both discussing that.
When I said, you know, I don't want to be crass...
When you say she's coming back, she's not going to work anymore, or what?
What I meant was she's, you know, there will not be a time when... She's not there. Where I, unlike you, will.
Oh, you bastard!
Oh.
Can I say that word?
Sure, you can.
Anyway, you know, no, that's so cruel.
Well, that's so cruel. That, you know, come on, listen. I'm not. That is not cruel. I'm saying I think you miss your wife more than you let us all know.
You were saying it was an adjustment. You know,
I think
that things
you miss
were reversed
your wife more than you and Rob when you're playing with each other's wives. I think both you guys are full of it. I think you're both
full
really,
of what I ask you.
I think can't say that.
Full
but
of what?
I will tell you. When I hear you doing this when we're off the air, and you joke, we all joke like guys joke. I think guys joke like that. And you guys have been married for a long time. I think you're both very into everything. You know,
listen, of course we're into being married, but I'm also very into my wife being out of the house 8 hours a day. Listen, let's be honest. I think she'd tell you the exact same thing.
What married guy would disagree?
Actually, this might even get you angrier at this. I think he's... No, I'm going to get myself in trouble with both my buddies in here.
Let me ask you a question. Do you not love your job? This is a good job, isn't it? You ever feel like cutting a vacation short?
What's that?
You ever feel like cutting a vacation short?
No.
You see, it's nice to come back to it, but you like your time away.
All right, now that's I understand. Right.
That's
what
a good
I was
point.
Say, see, I think he articulates it better because maybe he
has to do the dance.
Great job, isn't it?
It's a great job. I'm not saying anything anymore, Rob. For your sake.
Thank you.
That was well said, Rob.
He's different.
Anyway, no.
Oh, God.
What's wrong with? But your wife works.
Yes, she does.
Right now, listen, and I think can you speak now without?
But he's the urban professional.
Hold on.
I mean, don't judge anything by.
But no, listen. He gets his chops and busted just because he doesn't talk about it doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
That's right.
Are you?
Can I stop you there for a second and just say the reason I'm doing all this? I want you all to know something. Okay.
What?
I observe you all, okay?
All right.
I observe all of you happily married people.
And what do you see?
Well, I see different things with all... I see different things...
Stop observing.
For every one of you.
Making us nervous.
I do.
Stop observing. Go observe yourself.
No, I
I do.
You know, buddy, I do every single day.
I do a little dance when she leaves for work, you know. I mean, I wake up to the barrage of endless questions. I know about that.
Come on. Yeah. Listen,
everybody
man.
Likes a little time to themselves.
Oh, you know what? I speak with great authority on that subject, where I will tell you I have now.
And that's what
I'm enjoying. I enjoy my solitude very, very much.
Right.
I enjoy the woman I date very, very much.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy being with my kids very, very much. But it's more compartmentalized than it's ever been, and it's all terrific.
It's you. It's all up here for
it's,
you.
It's me. I don't know if I'd want to. I really don't know if I want to change where I'm at right
it's
now.
Great to, no matter whether you're a man or a woman, it's great to enjoy your house without that other person in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need a little of that time.
Amen, brother Buzz.
Yeah.
Amen, brother Buzz. And I'm the same.
All right. Okay.
Don't you get it?
Yeah.
I mean, I love my wife, but listen, the novelty of the fact that I'm home alone hasn't worn off yet.
I think maybe part of it.
It's like you're ruining my snow days.
Part of it is I've never, ever, any married people I've had, I've never seen anybody even in your stratosphere communicate with your wife as much as you do.
Well, I talk with her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If she
always,
oh,
you know, it's so
that's
you know,
why it works. Because I've
maybe
always
that's got, why it's good.
I've got the GPS. She knows where I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think I know where she is.
Right,
this time.
Right.
You know, if either one of us needs to be tracked, it would be me. I wouldn't put the tracking thing in her. I'd put the tracking thing in me.
Right.
Because
you know? Right.
I'm more likely.
So what you're all saying is the same thing.
To drive down Danger Highway.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But, no, listen. You're right. And I do talk. I talk. Christ. I called her at work to tell her that her toilet is still broken.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously I love her. I'm telling her these little small insignificant things just because I want to say hello to her. But at the same time, allow me the wonderful freedom to say.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking.
Man, it's great. It's great to have the old nag out of the house.
Okay. I think you've made your point.
Are you happy now?
Rob didn't need to make a point with me. Yeah, you've made your point. And Buzz, you're
yes.
Buzz. You know,
yeah.
you just,
yes,
you're
am.
Steady Eddie, man.
Whoa,
you
whoa,
just
whoa.
Cruise along.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, I love her.
You know.
I love her.
Sure.
I love her with all my heart.
Of course.
But boy, oh boy, she's working a lot.
I am also quite fond of my wife. Very agreeable company.
Oh my God, very agreeable company.
I'll tell you who's not happy today. Who's not happy today is Clem Todd. And Clem Todd is a disc jockey.
Oh, I thought it was because of the name.
No,
Clem Todd.
That's Bubba the Love Sponge.
Todd Clem, I think. Isn't
or, yeah, Todd, Todd Clem.
First name Todd. Todd. Last name
backwards. Clem.
Todd Clem.
Yeah. Todd Clem.
Todd Clem.
Well, no, you know what? Hold on.
Not that it makes a lot of difference.
Is it Clem Todd?
No, it's Todd Clem.
Okay, so
Todd
I wrote
Clem.
It down backwards.
I'll find his middle name. Too.
Todd Clem. So when we were going through all the stuff on this show with the changes that we're making and, you know, making it more whatever it has to be for right now, there are some people within our own show that said, well, there are other companies that have shock disc jockeys like Clear Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike and I almost went to work for Clear Channel before their last contract.
Right. Yeah.
And we thought, well, wow, they're okay. Well, they just fired this guy, Todd Allen Clem.
Right, middle name Allen. Todd Clem.
Todd Allen Clem.
Right. Clem. The Clemster with you. Anyway, they fired him.
Yeah.
They fired him. He was now not in as deep as we were or anybody else was, but he's another one of these guys, as far as I can tell. What he was doing on his show was doing sex bits with the Jetsons.
Cartoon characters talking about it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that to me sounds, you know, and there's other talk that he slaughtered a pig or something. You know, none of that to me sounds like reason to fire him.
No, I sure don't think
so. And that's the climate that we're in now. So
right.
There goes another one. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Another
example made. I mean, we are first time. You know why? It's easy.
No,
it's easy to target this.
Dedicate this one to Todd Clem, who I'll always refer to last name first. Mr. Clem Todd.
The bell tolls for Clem.
Mr. Clem Todd. Last night, man, was I disappointed with my big fat fiancé.
Yeah. Didn't see it. I went out to see Cold Mountain last night.
You were probably better off.
Here's the deal. That they set this thing up, and you know, I should have known that this would happen. That it would be a happy ending.
How was it a happy ending?
You didn't see it, right?
No, I did not see it. And I told you in the office, I want
this.
I mean, I haven't heard anything about it.
So. This is the worst part of the show. That it's great that they're getting married, and her family's there, and they're really upset, and the family, because the family's retarded, the brothers, the sons, they're wearing kilts, mm-hmm. because they're Scottish, and the sister is all hung up on, you know, the whole family's all hung up on themselves. No one really cares that...
They're a shallow group, right?
That maybe the daughter... is really in love with the fat...
Yeah, they are a very shallow, nasty group of people. That's what I know.
Dumb guy, because you've got, like, the daughter, who the other daughter, her sister, who I guess is, what, 18, 19, something like that, mm-hmm. like, I'm just so mad at her. She's crying. I don't know if I'll go. We've been best friends. She's violated our trust. No one is saying, even though the guy's repulsive, mm-hmm. no one in this family is saying... Hey, she loves it. But they're all there because the TV cameras are there. And they do a good job of milking it. Then it gets to the very end of the part with, if there's anybody that wants to say they have a reason this wedding shouldn't take place, and they break for commercial.
Right.
And they come back from the commercial, and then they got a really great twist because she says, I do. Then they go to him, and he says, I can't do this.
The actor.
The actor says...
Because he's supposed to say that.
Right. He says... I just can't do this. I'm sorry. This is a scam. Mm-hmm. This is a con. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. And I'm thinking, well, now I'm happy.
Right?
Now I'm happy. Mm-hmm. And the mother gets off in a snit. The girl's mom, she leaves.
Walks out.
The dad is still sitting there. Now, here's the resolution on this. That Steve, the fat guy, is still standing out there saying, please come back, please come back. They show a producer going back to the room where the mother and the sister and the brothers are, and he says, listen, I can't tell you exactly what's going on, but what your daughter's done is really good, and you have to go back out there to hear what she has to say, and then this will all make sense to you.
And does she give the speech about, you supported me even though you hated?
Here's the deal. She comes out and first, the guy says to her, Steve, he says, everybody should know that I'm an actor. These people are actors. You know, and now it's at this point, the dingy broad finally figures out that she's as dumb as everybody. She's like, and it's, you can see it, and I'm still happy at this point.
Is she mad?
Because she's embarrassed.
Yeah,
because,
right.
And I mean, you see it.
Yeah.
You see the fact that she's the light is very slowly going on. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, hold on. You mean I lied to my stupid family for you and all of these other people? You can
right.
see this happening. And if it's my show, that's where I say, good night, the news is next.
Right.
No, here's the happy ending. Steve the fat guy says, well, we were going to give you $250,000 for you and $250,000 for your family, says the girl. And as they go to each member of the family... But the whole reason you got into this game was because you love your family so much. And the tone of our show has changed once we started. And we found out what a loving and nurturing family the Cole family truly is.
Oh, no.
And the fact that you're all here supporting your daughter, even though you don't think that she really deserves to marry a man like the man that you thought I am, it says so much. And, you know, and by now you've got everybody, you know, all the family members.
Right. Yeah.
And they give her $500,000, uh-huh. and then they give her family $500,000.
So for being a-holes, they get $500,000?
Yeah, each of them. The family gets $500,000, and she gets $500,000. And never once is it pointed out, and I think at one point, the father, before they calmed him down and gave him his money,
right.
when at first he heard the premise.
Weren't they just nasty as nasty could be through most of that show?
I didn't watch the series. I just watched the finale.
Well, I watched the first couple of episodes.
They were not pleasant people.
No, they weren't.
They were meddling, they're like, really just over
the
top.
Let me just explain this to you. You know, if you go... the best way to describe them is, because they're so friggin' white. You ever go to a ski resort?
And
there's always that perfect family where you've got the guy like that, the dad that's got kind of the military haircut.
Yeah,
got,
here I am, yeah, tough guy.
You know, he's got that perfect, like, James Brolin gray hair, and you've got the mom that's like, she could be on Seventh Heaven, and the family is always walking around, and they're always
dressed perfectly, they look perfect, they behave perfectly.
Yeah, they're so sure of each other, and you know that inside, they're really like the Simpsons.
They're filled with angst.
Okay. And really, these people...
That's a perfect description of that family.
These people are, and the thing is, the whole thing was a setup, and I don't mind that they ended up giving her the money, but why did you have to make it like she endured some type of sacrifice, and the show was teaching us what a loving family this family was.
And they didn't
was.
Need the money, right?
Sure, I mean, it sure didn't look like.
They look like they have money.
They looked kind of affluent, yeah.
They do. They're affluent, right. So they don't need a half a mil.
Well, Buzz, that's the only one you saw. What did you think?
Well, yeah, the thing that struck me, yeah, I know, I agree with everything you said. One of the things that struck me, I thought there was sort of a mass psychology thing, is that even though everybody in the family just hated this guy, the role that the actor was playing, when they asked, and I mean, they set it up and they allowed plenty of time, when they asked, does anyone here object to this wedding? And everybody just sat there and nobody said anything. You know, it was
so
it
that
was
moved you.
Well, no, I was struck by that everybody hated the guy, and in the end, nobody spoke up.
Hello, Don and Mike. Show.
Well, see, what Don and I like to believe is that they really were evil.
Yes.
Perhaps
that's why.
It can't be because they were, you know, really thinking that their daughter loved that guy.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever been to a wedding where someone objected?
No.
I've always been so tempted just to say, I'm kidding, of course.
I'm kidding, of course, and turn around.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, am I on the air?
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi. Where?
Yeah, did you notice that when Steve first said, well, what you know, I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to say I do. She didn't react at all. She just pretty much looked at him. She would have been...
You know what? I had to hit the dump on you. Yeah. You can be something as hell, but I don't think you can be as hell.
Yeah, well, we're still feeling it out.
We're working it, but I, you know, we feel you, dog.
Yeah, dog.
Hello, Don and Mike. Steve.
Yeah, the one thing, too, that stupid broad, the biggest slap in the face was when the big fat guy turns out he's been happily married for a long time.
Was he happily married?
Yeah, he's happily married.
He was great, though. Yeah. I'd like to see him get a TV show. Yeah. He's good.
But did, look,
I guess he just did get a TV show.
Hold on, were you happy with that ending? The guy on the phone?
He's gone.
Guy on the phone hung up. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Jimmy.
Hey, that was pretty. Yeah, that was kind of dumpy ending. Also, you know, I didn't like it at all. That was the only episode I saw. I prefer watching the Fear Factor over that thing.
I think it was a mistake, probably, to pick up this line as Jimmy.
Jimmy, did you listen to yesterday's show with Jerry and Johnny?
Just a little bit. I didn't have time. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Jimmy, all right. Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
Okay, are you on topic with us? What's your topic, Jimmy?
Anyway, I want to just go back a little bit to your thing about being home alone without the wife at work and stuff.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Thank
because I said
ye.
My wife... Yes, sir.
Thank ye for
well,
agreeing
thank
with me.
You.
Thank you.
Yeah, glad you're glad, guy.
I sent my wife to Hawaii for 2 weeks. I was home alone.
Really?
Yes, it was great.
Well, who did she go to Hawaii with?
I thought she went to visit the daughter. She's over there right now, but, you know, I had a little...
The daughter? Who is the daughter?
Our daughter.
Mike, you know, the daughter.
Oh, okay.
She's visiting the daughter. How old is the daughter?
The daughter's like 22.
Oh, so she's out there in Hawaii living.
The wife.
Is it about seven, Rob?
Is it your daughter?
The daughter that's living there alone.
Is it your daughter?
Yes, it is our daughter, yes.
All right.
So, how old is she?
She's 22. The daughter's 22.
And you just sent her along to see the daughter?
Well, yeah, I couldn't get away, but it didn't bother me any not being able to go. I'll go later on.
So you're also another married man who enjoys his solitude.
It was great. I had a list of things to do, and she asked me about it, and she wanted to see the list, and I said, no, I'm not showing you the list, because then give her something to fall back on and say, well, you didn't do this or that. So.
What's your daughter do in Hawaii?
She's married to an Army guy out there.
Okay, so that's their station out there.
Yeah, so, you know, it was not, but like you say, it was great. 2 weeks alone,
right.
Just sitting around.
I can't imagine that she's counting the hours to get back to you. I mean, I've only spent about 90 seconds with you, pal. I can't imagine.
Honey, I'm in Hawaii, and, well, you're Jimmy, and I'm staying out here.
If you send me there, I'd never come back. I swear to God.
All right.
Bye, loser.
Okay, bye.
Right. Hold on. Weren't you going to say you love the show or something?
Yes, of course I do.
Well,
thanks,
go ahead,
Jimmy.
Say it, please.
I love the show.
Thanks, loser.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Enthusiastic Jimmy.
Jimmy, we had a Jerry and a Johnny.
We
had a Jimmy today.
Jimmy, hold on.
Another one?
Jerry?
Yeah, Jerry.
Everybody calling is Jimmy.
We have a Jerry. Did you get confused there? I thought for a second that Joey might have, given you the wrong scoop.
Johnny. Jerry.
So who are you talking to, Jerry?
Jerry, yes. Jerry.
Hey, did you notice throughout the whole show, you know the militant son, the guy that was the most upset about her sister? The guy had a beer in his hand every minute of the day.
Yeah. That is true.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Because we're muscle heads.
And as they were getting ready for the wedding, the guy was walking walking around with his kilt with a beer in his
hand. Did he appear to be visibly bombed?
I don't know. You know who looked worse was the other brother. He was the one that he looked like he was on acid.
Don't both of those brothers? Don't both those brothers look like? If you put those pictures and said these young men are skinheads,
yes, angry skinheads.
Wouldn't you think like the Aryan Nation?
First of all, how old are the brothers roughly?
19.
Yeah.
What is the deal? Why are they so concerned?
Because it's the family.
Their sister was marrying that jerk.
Yeah, but I mean, let's see. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe
dude,
state rules, dude.
And also, you get to a certain level when beer is just a beer. You know, some people, that's like a Sprite. It's not like hard liquor. Come on, it's just a beer.
Rob, we're not all you.
All right, goodbye, Jerry.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Denial.
Peace out. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show. There's no way that you could come from my loins. As soon as I get home, the first thing I'm going to do is punch your mama in the mouth.
The Don and Mike Show.
Bow to their capricious whims, Don Geronimo and Michael Mella.
So the caucuses are happening today. Trust me, I'm not getting political on your ass now. The caucuses are today. There's one in Hawaii. I only bring this up for one reason, that I saw this on the news today. It's a real news story, right? That the politicians are concerned, and I got a picture here to go along with this. Well, pictures don't work on the radio, but I can show Mike and show Buzz. Here's the problem, that they are having the caucus today in Hawaii. It's worth something like 50 delegates.
Yeah, they're worried about turnout.
Because American Idol's on tonight.
And they got a Hawaiian contestant.
There's a Hawaiian guy, yeah. You see, there's the guy. His name is Jonah Mohanahu. It's like every Hawaiian guy you've ever seen in your life.
Tiny bubble.
Big gigantic guy. Anyway, they're very concerned. And here's my question.
Wasn't there a Hawaiian girl in the last group, too? I think there was a girl from Hawaii.
Yeah, well, I don't know. But
they went after Hawaii and they had the, they got them. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's my question. Being as I'm assuming in Hawaii that they run things on Hawaiian time, mm-hmm. meaning that like primetime network shows, if they were to run them live,
right.
they would be on in the middle of the day.
Right.
So you've got to think American Idol is going to be on at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to delay it.
Right.
Right.
So why is there a problem with people not getting out to do whatever it is that they're doing today?
I think the caucuses are in the evening.
But further than...
Oh, are they really?
Oh. Yeah. Or are the caucuses at night?
I think so. I think that's why there's the concern.
Right. But still, it's just stupid American Idol.
But it's Hawaii.
It's just
they don't got a lot to care about.
Well, like what? You can't TiVo it, or you can't...
tape record it?
Or...
something? TiVo is
Or is
widespread as you guys think it is.
They're practically in Japan over there. I mean, it's that.
They what?
They're practically in Japan. All the way over in the ocean.
In Hawaii. No, I've just been told, yes, you are right, Mike, that the caucuses are at night.
Yeah, caucuses are at night, and they're worried about people getting all excited about their native.
All right, then forget what I said about the time difference. I still think that that's goofy.
It's still goofy.
I still think that that's...
I think it's stupid.
Just ridiculous. Anyway, I urge... We used to be in Hawaii on like a 10-watt radio
station. Hawaii's a... I know Hawaii is way far away, but it's a state.
That's right.
No, it's not really, though.
Yes, not really, which is why it's fine with me. If we were on in Hawaii, I'd tell everybody, do what I do. Don't vote. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Look at all the ocean that's between you and the mainland.
Right. What could happen? Right. You're safe there.
Yeah.
You're safe there. You
if you have any problems, just ask Higgins.
You could probably do a radio show in Hawaii, and the rules probably wouldn't even have a boundary on you because you're in Hawaii.
Probably
no, you
true.
Just drink, sit around like in your underwear and drink coconut milk. You're in Hawaii and you do a radio show, you get called to the lawyer's office. Mm-hmm. It was like going to that guy's bar in Magnum P.I.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Who was the... Rick was his name. Was that
right.
his name, Rick?
The helicopter pilot.
Remember? No, that was the brother.
No, that was his other buddy in Vietnam. Well, I mentioned Higgins. Did you get that reference?
No, I got that.
Remember the last disc jockey from Hawaii we talked? It was that guy at the Super Bowl with the gray ponytail.
Now, have you ever seen a happier disc jockey? I mean, was he just happy to be alive?
Looking at him.
Yeah, right.
He's looking himself. But imagine that you do something on the radio and you get called to a grass hut somewhere and they give you a hollowed out coconut that's full of rum and you put on your Gilligan's Island hat.
And then maybe we could row out to all the tall ships that are out there bringing spices in Hawaii, too.
Unlike
your image of Hawaii, you've been there. It's a modern place.
Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's very behind the times.
Are you saying that we were called on the carpet, we'd go see like the local witch doctor?
I believe it's very much.
And we consult over
it's
this?
It's like Gilligan's Island. It's like Gilligan's Island.
Maybe there are a few places left in the world Gilligan's Island.
It's a combination Gilligan's Island and Flintstones. You'd go to the hut, and then there would be a bird, and you would have to, you'd pull on the bird's foot, and it would go, Integrity Broadcasting. Something like that. Not like yesterday. And we did not get into enough specific detail about these offices that we had to go to yesterday for the meeting with the lawyers.
You've been fined 16 papayas.
There were a couple of things that I'm going to throw out as constructive criticism to the lawyers that has nothing to do with any of the content on our show or the meeting yesterday.
This is just an observance of the surroundings.
Uh-huh. First off, you have a very opulent building and a very beautiful interior. It's like being at a classic four-star hotel. It truly is.
Beautiful.
Let me just say, though, that it takes away from all of the opulence, which is the best word that I can use. When asked if I could use the men's room, when they said yes and gave me the key, which was attached, I asked you not, to a piece of metal the size of a license plate.
Right.
It was like in the Steve Martin movie, The Jerk.
You walked in with this thing. I couldn't believe what I was looking at.
It was big.
I mean, because when you are surrounded with that kind of opulence, you would think it's around the corner to your right. You know, that the type of people, I'm not sure the type of people that come in there on a regular basis, but the hall pass, you get that kind of a key tag at a Texaco.
And I'm not kidding when I say, and you guys saw it, certainly bigger than this index card that I'm holding up now.
Much bigger, made of brass.
Well, 18
inches
long.
I mean, they could have passed that and said men on it, but why a key?
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, look, I have a question. When you went in there, was it a single seater?
I only used the stand-up urinal.
No, but I'm saying, was there a commode and a urinal in there? Was it a single seat? Was it designed as a public restroom, or was it designed as a private restroom?
It may be private, but there was nothing that would...
You open the door and you lock it behind you.
That's all it was. It was like the restaurant at Applebee's.
You know, why did you...
It was like the bathroom at Applebee's.
Why did you need the key? That's what I'm curious about.
Because the... Now here is Joe. Hi.
Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Having been a courier for many years in my earlier careers, they keep the key to keep the couriers out of the bathroom and the homeless people, which would gladly live in the bathrooms if they didn't.
Ah. It seems like an awful stretch for a homeless person to go up and walk into
Wouldn't it be hard for a homeless person to get into that building on K Street where those guys are?
Sign in.
It's easy.
Just because there's a guy...
The guy didn't stop us just because we had ties on.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to go up there and... Don, that guy was at a big desk. You could duck like this and go right past his desk.
Joe, you're
probably
kidding me.
Singing the national
anthem. You're listening to homeless advocate Joe Artinger. Joe, I don't believe that homeless people would try to live inside the Infinity Lawyers offices downtown.
There was a homeless guy living in our bathroom one night.
Hear the radio station?
Our bathroom. I mean, my God, you going to our bathroom? Fine, have it, take it.
I wouldn't waste
it on the homeless.
Probably improve the place. Put some artwork up there.
Now, listen, that's Joe. Good for you for having a good heart, sweet doughy heart, of Joe. Thanks. But you're so damn dumb, Joe. They don't have a lock on the bathroom on the sixth floor of a magnificent, beautiful building on K Street, so that a homeless
guy. You and I have been in a few more of those offices than our esteemed colleague, and it's unusual.
Yeah. It was very much like MIB getting into this building to begin with.
That's why you have, though, the person that's at the front desk. And they have the thing with the big letters and the whole deal.
Security guard.
So that would be my first...
And then the receptionist, who's also a security guard.
My first piece of advice to them would be, unlock the bathroom. Don't make a person feel like they're carrying around a license plate. Because
it's worse than carrying a newspaper under your arm.
And then once you get back from the bathroom to get back into the office... You have to beep, it's not even like And this is where the, what are they, maybe Joe's right. Maybe they're afraid a homeless person is going to get in the lobby, but you can't even open the door to the lawyer's office.
Right.
It's locked at all times.
So you had to go outside of the actual offices.
Yeah.
And
right.
go down the hallway.
And you know that they've got to have, you know that inside those offices, that they have their own bathrooms.
I didn't even know that you went outside the building. I mean, you went outside of the office.
You have to go, go past the elevators.
You know they've got restrooms in there.
Of course they do.
Oh, they don't want the public.
Those are the private restrooms.
Oh, so
that's not good.
That's the first thing I wanted just to point out. Listen, I'm a tacky guy, but even I think that's tacky.
Is there a restroom I can use?
Yeah.
Get the key out of the door.
Get the license plate.
Let him use the one that
get
everybody
the license
uses.
Plate key.
Get the one that the Texaco one.
And here's the other thing, and I know we mentioned this yesterday, but we did not do it justice, and we have to revisit the Visa machine. Now, this is...
Right.
I want you to think about, in your mind's eye, a lawyer's office, and I'm going to describe this exactly as it was, that cherry wood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
very opulent.
Gloss. Right, buzz gloss. Dimmed lighting.
Beautiful.
Ceiling lighting. Looks like antique furniture.
Expensive furniture.
Everywhere you go. Mm-hmm.
To give you an idea, they really had directional lighting just on their plant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was a decorator design.
Yeah, it's very, very upscale.
So once you get past the barrage of security and you get to this, you go, wow, I think we're all agreeing we hate lawyers, but you have to stand back for a second and go, this is like where Donald Trump lives. This is beautiful. Well, what do they got in the middle? You see, you walk in, and there's a gigantic, like, Starship Enterprise-sized desk.
Yeah, they all have those.
Console.
Reception console.
That this
not all of them, but the downtown biggies have them.
Right, this receptionist is behind it. Of course, it's all done with this cherry wood and mahogany, and she's hidden behind you, you know, like in a defensive crouch.
She can duck down.
Well, right in front of her is this big-ass, ugly Visa machine.
I mean, the kind of thing that you would see at the Home Depot where you'd swipe your card.
At a grocery store.
You would walk into a Home Depot, and I mean, this looked like you'd say thank you to these very high-powered lawyers, say thank you, we're going to leave your opulent office, and incidentally, would you like me to scan your drywall before you leave?
This thing, now listen, I know what it's all about, and there's no need to even start this. I'll play it anyway, okay?
Show me the money.
Okay, I know. Listen, I know that's why they're in business.
That's
hello?
Right.
I get it.
It
they're
has always
in business.
Been my opinion that at a certain level,
I'm just telling you,
lawyers send out bills.
Your decor stinks. That if your lawyers are still listening to the show today, your decor stinks, and I'll tell you why. I don't know a lot, but I do know this, that when you have a beautiful place like that, you don't junk it up by putting a big plastic Visa machine.
No, why don't you just put a shopping cart out front?
Right in the very front.
Why don't you have really like a candy dispenser? So if you want to buy some candy before you leave, you know, like the kids see. I've never seen anything. Lawyers bill hours. That's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And then you get the bill in the mail. That's how it works. I've never seen. The only ones that probably take the credit cards are the one that I wouldn't think that they would be the kind that you'd get, like in the strip mall.
Like guys on cops.
Right.
You know,
can you defend me? Well, do you have your credit card on hand?
What's your limit?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what.
Maybe they do. Who's to know?
Why don't you slide it through? Well, no way.
Right.
They only defend. And
why would they possibly have that machine there?
Well, you know why? To get money.
You're not making any sense.
Of course I am.
You're losing your
head. To get money. No,
you're saying they get money. They get paid by getting their high-powered clients and sending them billable hours.
It's a tacky way of paying. For a lawyer, for a boutique law firm, and is that what they are? Are they a boutique firm?
I don't know what they are.
I mean, that's what I read in John Grisham books.
Yeah. Do they sell money orders?
I bet they do.
I don't.
Lottery tickets?
I don't know.
That may be, like they say a client comes in and they say to the client, what's the client's way out? You know, we billed you the last 2 months, so would you like to take care of that right
Forget
now?
They don't have any clients like that.
The clients are
why do they have the machine?
You know why?
You're just not making any sense.
You know why?
You're not making it. You're not answering my question.
Okay,
I'll tell you why. Because their bottom line.
Explain it to you like this, Michael. The bottom line is, even though it's a high-end, very, very
But
beautiful,
you just said they don't have any clients like that.
They don't.
You're contradicting yourself. You're losing your head.
No, I'm not losing my head. What you want even your biggest Wall Street tycoon to know, when you come through the doors at Sauce O'Meara and Elston,
listen,
we're surrounding you with opulence. But don't forget, Buster.
Yeah. There's the answer right there. The Visa machine. Your Visa. Your V-I-S-A-R. Your Visa machine.
It is the strangest thing I've ever seen in one of those type of law offices. It's symbolic.
And it was not even as small as the ones at Safeway or CVS or Home Depot.
It was,
you know how cell phones have gotten so much smaller?
Right, right.
It was like the first edition of a card swipe machine that came out.
It was an old one, and it would look like it was that one that's on a little swivel.
And I'll tell you, I know the exact route, or I'm going to guess the route, that it came directly after back in the olden days when you go into a store with your credit card and they had that big almost stapler-like machine.
Yeah, they still use it in some places.
Yeah,
they pound that thing down on your card.
Slide your charge card back and forth on that.
Sure, you can do the slider, the real one where you take that big stapler thing and press it down with a handle.
Yeah, they still have both kinds, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Mark, Donna Mike Show. Mark, hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great.
Once again, Joe Ardinger has proved that he knows all and sees all, especially when it comes to bathrooms.
Joe.
All right.
He is absolutely right that we've had this in our office where we have found homeless people hiding in a closet in our office.
Well, I want any homeless people out there, if they're listening to our show today, first off,
sure,
thanks.
Yes. Thank you very much, and thanks for getting yourself a transistor radio.
And second, the address is 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia.
Come on down, set a spell. It's warm and dry.
Here's all I ask. Don't hang around when I'm here.
Between 3 and 7,
don't show up.
Go do your picking.
But other than
that, be out shopping in the afternoon.
Well, shopping to one person, picking to another person.
Other than that, help yourself to everything. You know, I think you'll find once you gain access to this building, as everybody does, you know, and incidentally, that's another thing you homeless people should know. Word lock does not exist at WJFK Radio.
And really, as far as our facilities are concerned, the Elvis shower, perfect. Yeah. You've got two sinks in there.
Yeah.
You can really clean yourself up. You can give yourself a real nice quick once-over. And
you're going to find, once you get inside the building, homeless people, and as long as you don't do it between 3 and 7 when our show is on, you're going to find all kinds of those little packages of ketchup that you like so much and the little things of mustard and stuff.
Where are they?
They're upstairs in the conference room.
Oh, upstairs in the conference room. Yeah, there you go.
All right. Sure. Yeah, there's cable TV up there.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Knock yourself out. Michael Hughes has an office.
Mm-hmm.
For God's sakes, we should rent that out to a homeless person. Michael Hughes is only in this building one day a week.
Yeah, that'd be very comfortable. It's well heated.
So come on down, homeless people.
We have the room.
The WJFK is now an official homeless shelter.
I hate to hear Joe, you know, corroborated. It drives me nuts, but it sounds like maybe he's right.
What did you do? I bet you weren't as open as we are going to be with the homeless people at your office. Right, Mark?
No, we called the police.
Yeah, see, now.
No. That's so cool.
We won't do that.
He found a new home, man. He wanted to stay.
And really, I don't think we should discount the job opportunity that might present itself.
You never know.
You come in here.
Well, if Peter picked up some work, I'd have put him on staff, but he just wanted
to here, I'm telling you, and Mike, you're absolutely right. Any of you homeless out there listening to us on your transistor right now,
usually on an average week, you know, 2 or 3 days, if you hang out here, just watch the front door, and you'll see one of them going. And then just go right in and try to replace him.
You take his or her spot.
A lot of them have been offered weekend shifts.
Some have accepted.
And you're going to love this. If you're homeless, you're thinking about coming down to live here at this radio station and maybe eventually end up working here. Hygiene, not a problem.
No, not a problem.
As evidenced by the current staff.
It does not matter. Look around. You'll feel right at home.
It is not job one.
As around here, HMO means hygiene mighty optional. So
we are okay on BO.
we do not discriminate on BO.
So come on down. Anyway, you know, how ridiculous is this? And the other thing I had to tell you about the lawyers, being as we're talking about them here in their office, is that today I received a call from Limewand, and he calls me up.
Rob.
Limewand here. He says, Don, I want to let you know, the lawyer called, Sidney Pollack called him up,
right,
and said that he hadn't heard our show yesterday himself, but that he had heard that we had a really funny show.
Yeah, he has somebody listen for him like a food taster.
And I said to Alan...
So he personally won't be contaminated.
Absolutely.
Yes. I said to Alan, well, tell them thanks. I mean, I don't know what they were expecting yesterday, if they're going to take the poop and the sex out, that, like, well, we wouldn't be able to do a show or anything.
Yeah, well, he didn't listen. Yeah, that's the part I like. He didn't listen, but he had people that did.
That's right. Yeah. And he's got a genuine.
And if they happen to, you know, listen for about a half an hour and they drop dead, then he gets another person in there to listen.
And we were so worried he wouldn't like the show.
Nice visa. Nice visa machine.
Thanks so much.
Nice men's room key.
Thank you for visiting. Sorry you couldn't use the private men's room. Swipe that card on your way out, will you, please?
And hello. No validation, right?
No
validation. No.
Parking down there. God.
Forget it.
We pretend to I think that we had eight people. We had eight different parking lots.
Mm-hmm. I cannot believe that there's a homeless person that lives in that building. That can't be the reason that they locked that bathroom, because they're worried about homeless people.
And incidentally, if you want to get people to stop driving the oversized SUVs, just have them go down and try to park in downtown Washington.
Robbie, how many spots did we go to?
Like five.
Robbie and I went five different garages.
I did three.
Yeah. 6-8. It's like, if you're down...
When I heard this sound on top of my car that sounded kind of like peanut brittle, and the guy came around the corner and went, no, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. No, it's not. You're Yao Ming. There's no way you can get in. Hold on. Yao Ming is 7'4". How big is Shaq? 6'9"? It's smaller than that.
The one I was in, one was 6'2". Wow. And the one that I was able to barely get in was 6'6".
And then, I didn't even mention this yesterday. God, I'm so embarrassed to tell you this. I've lived here.
Of course, I didn't mention that. I wasn't driving an SUV. I was driving the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Well, man.
It just would not fit.
Were you using the speakers?
Yeah, of course.
Nanny. I've lived here my whole life. Right. I mean, I've worked everywhere, but I've lived in D.C. I know D.C. I got down to the lawyer's office yesterday, and Rob called me up and said, "Where are you at?" And I said, "I'm here. I'm looking for a place to park." He said, "Well, I'm standing out front." I said, "All right, I'll pick you up." So then Rob gets in the car, and I start chatting with him, and we're looking for a garage that my car can get into. Right. I got the big gas-guzzling SUV. So we find a garage, and we go, and then we get done with the meeting, and we leave, and I realize I'm downtown, and I really don't know what garage my car is in. I've not paid attention,
because
I've been so wrapped up in my conversation with Rob.
And I'm not going to scold you.
Why? Did
same
you,
thing?
The exact same
oh
thing.
Oh, my God.
I went around the block three different times on the wrong side of the street, and then realized finally that I had been circling the garage where my car was the entire time.
Wow. So I ended up calling.
Did you find yours? How long after you left me?
30 minutes. Because I finally ended up calling the number on the stub.
Right.
And the ladies, I said, it's like 1018 K Street. Mm-hmm. She said, "Yeah, right. 1018 K Street. Yeah."
Dennis was with you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. 1018 K Street. I said, okay. Then I got there to 1018 K Street, and there is no such... I went to another garage and talked to another guy who didn't really speak good English,
right,
who told me to walk three or four blocks another way. So look, always be a lesson to you. Always remember where you park.
Because really, all the garages down there, and this is probably any major metropolitan area, they all look the same.
Well, here's the problem is, and they were telling me in a nice way that I'm dumb, because I parked in Monument Parking. Get it, Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Monument Parking is the name of the company. However, the garage is in a building called the Millennium Building. So as you walk past, you see in real big letters,
right,
the Millennium Building. And then in very, very tiny letters on another wall, it says in real small letters, Monument Parking Garage.
Is your key on your little remote entry key, do you have a panic button on that? Where you can hit it and go. What you do is you hit the panic button, and then you really stand in the middle of the city and you just string.
Yeah.
You'll hear it eventually.
Steve can hear
it.
I think it's over there.
I get jokes. I get jokes. I get them. Where is it? Where's the car?
And that's the sound of Don's panic button.
Yeah, right, we got a break.
Bacardi Limon.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
On the other hand, gave herself a lot of options, such as Bowdoin, Holy Cross, Georgetown.
You know that Georgetown is a total reach for me.
Oh, please, they'd be crazy not to want you.
If I can get in there, that means I probably can get into Berkeley.
Over my dead body.
There are more Nobel Prize winners in the San Francisco Bay Area than anywhere on the planet.
Nobel Prize for what? Back and fudge?
The Don and Mike Show.
You
Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
All right, question is,
is anyone listening?
Find out.
National Treasure.
Hi.
Don and Mike.
We're giving away a trip to Iceland today. We are every day this week. We'll do it in a little while. Win a trip to Iceland. On Iceland Air. Iceland Air. The coolest airline crossing the Atlantic with daily flights to continental Europe, Scandinavia, the UK, and Iceland.
Yes.
Since it's Iceland Air. We'll give that trip away in a couple of seconds. Let's see. I know, Mike. I wanted to just mention to you very briefly that... Even though, how do I put this politely? Even though you're not married,
yeah,
and you have a gal pal,
yeah,
I just want to say that you've already demonstrated to me the first sign that you've caved.
Caved what?
Last night,
you're right.
But and because this is last night,
yeah.
I said to Mike and I were talking about something in the office. I said, as we're going to bring this up later, the Regis TV show is getting great ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Mike said, yeah. That he had seen it last night.
I was talking about how much I hated it.
And I
actually enjoy Regis on Regis and Kelly Lee, mm-hmm.
And
I hate Regis on The Millionaire Show.
Yeah. Hi, Bobo. And then I said, Mike said to me, why didn't you watch it? I said, because I watched CSI. There was a CSI on last night. And Mike said, oh, yeah. And then he said, the reason he watched Millionaire was not his choice.
Yeah, not his choice. That doesn't happen a lot, but I didn't even choose to flip.
I wanted to just...
Yeah, maybe it's a warning sign.
Point out, it's the first sign.
It might be a warning sign.
It's the first... It won't... Trust me, Mike.
It might be a warning sign, but I appreciate you giving a heads up on it.
Let me say, the bloom's off the rose. It won't be long until you're glad that she's not there.
And for anybody that watched...
Just like the rest of us.
It's a slippery slope. For anybody that watched Millionaire... And I think you have a point there. I really do.
As soon as you give up that TV right...
I know. Yeah,
hold on. Was it at your place or her place?
My place.
Oh!
Yeah.
Guilty.
Yeah, yeah.
Guilty.
Yeah, well, but it wasn't that big a deal. I wasn't paying.
Mike.
You know what? I wasn't paying enough attention to it.
Doesn't matter.
I should pay more attention.
Hey, Mike.
I'll say something to you. Warning well taken.
Can I say something to you?
Yes.
I believe it was 3 weeks ago today.
Yes.
I said something.
Right.
That I didn't mean to say. That
right.
Just kind of happened.
Yeah, I know.
It's just a one-time thing. And look at us now.
Now you've blown it all out of proportion.
Look at us now.
Well, I hope I don't get a two-week suspension because of that. But can I mention something about that Millionaire show, which I hate, and I watch because Regis is just so underqualified for that job. That's what drives me nuts. He barely can read the questions. And then he has that smug, you're right, like I knew it.
Uh-huh.
I knew it because the card was in front of me.
Yeah.
And he brings this guy, Bobo, who is without question, not just because he's fat, because I'm fat too, but this guy, Bobo,
he's
creepy looking, and he gives the name to Regis. You give Regis a name like Bobo, yeah,
Bobo.
And Regis in his almond-sized brain,
hey, Robbo,
will just say, hey, Bobo.
Hey, there's Bobo.
I love Bobo.
Latches on to
him. Hey,
Regis is one of the guys that overuses big guy.
Hey, Michael.
Which is like, that's a thimble-sized brain that makes a guy do that.
Was his real name
big
Bobo,
guy.
Or was
that
it
was
Bob?
His nickname,
oh, okay.
And it was given to him. And here's the weirdest part. Anybody that saw this should have paid attention to this. He introduces the woman he's traveling with, his mother-in-law. And that's weird. So I perk up when I hear
Mamo.
This.
Yeah.
And then they turn around and they
Bobo
show
Mamo.
This woman,
uh-huh,
who, if this was not a man in drag, I don't know what was going on. It
Mars.
Was strange.
No,
this is, I'm traveling with my mother-in-law. And then
Bobo.
They showed the mother-in-law, who I believe had a tiny, thin mustache.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like it was coming. It looked like a man. It looked like Dan Aykroyd and Julia Child. It was very, very disturbing. But, of course, Regis was oblivious. Well, Regis wouldn't do anything like that anyway.
Would not.
But it's like,
way to go, Bobo.
Bobo.
You would never know. Say, your mother-in-law looks like a man. Why are you traveling with your mother-in-law, Bobo?
Exactly.
Bobo, why don't you explain? Because there's something disturbing here. And Bobo, you look
seriously like you may be a felon also.
And if I could talk to Mike O'Mara, hey, Mike O, how come you're not watching the show you really want to watch?
How come?
Because it started.
Do I get any kind of free pass that I was not hip to the fact that CSI was even on?
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely wanted to
change the channel.
I wanted to change the channel.
But you didn't.
I did.
Afraid to change the channel in your own house.
You might be right.
With your own TV.
I could lie to you and say you're wrong.
It won't be long.
Back off, Bobo.
It won't be long, Bobo. Listen.
Dono.
Today.
Yeah, Dono.
George Bush goes on TV. In the middle of the day. Right in the middle of The Price is Right.
Right.
You know, and listen, if you haven't been able to tell already, this is how we plan our lives, according to what's on our radio show or what's on TV.
Right.
So, he comes on and basically he says... Yeah, I didn't even really watch it. I got it muted.
He proposed, a constitutional amendment?
Yeah.
That's right.
And it's
to ensure that marriage is simply between a man and a woman.
Basically to ban homosexual marriage.
One great thing about the technology that we live in now, the culture we live in now, is everything you got to have it right now.
Right.
That I could watch this. I was talking on the phone with somebody, and I had turned around because I had muted the TV. I turned around on the swivel chair at my desk, and I saw, what's Bush doing on TV?
Yeah.
And with it muted on the bottom of the screen, said President Bush addressing nation, anti-gay marriage.
Right.
So right away, I don't even have to hear what he has to say. That's I know they've already crystallized it. So the question is, what does he really think? Huh? What does Bush think?
Yeah.
We have a way to find out.
That's great.
Let's now go direct to 1600. Turn on the microphone. Is he there?
Yeah, Mama.
Hey, George.
Hold on. Something's
through
on my wireless. My secret wireless speaker.
GW.
I think it's Don. Hold on.
GW.
Hey, Donnie.
Hey, Giorgio.
Are you there? Hey, Busho. Oh, man. How's it going, man? You haven't called me on the super secret phone yet.
Listen,
this is good. That thing works great. You sound loud and clear. Are we on your show?
Not right now.
Excellent. All right. We can talk candidly. How'd you like my speech? Did you like about those people that I did today? Yeah, I'm not about those people.
Let me just ask you. Philosophically?
Yeah.
Who can, shouldn't gay people be allowed to be as miserable? Shouldn't homos and lesbians be allowed to be as miserable as the rest of us are and get married?
Do you want my serious answer?
Yeah.
I will tell you that I think that the sanctity of marriage in this country should
be upheld. Who are you talking to?
A man and a woman.
Is that what you really think?
Yes, I do.
What do you think about this thought? Two men who get
along
married
for a day when gay means happy.
Picture in your mind.
Yes.
Two men standing at an altar.
Oh, no. Come on. Don't.
Why?
Don't do that.
Two men.
No, come on, man. No, don't. Please, don't. Don't. Can I say something seriously?
Well,
I've been in many situations where, we got this one guy, he's a Secret Service agent. I swear he's one of those guys. And he looks at me weird, He gives me those looks all the time. He's just like, I'll be standing there and I just know he's one of them. I just know he is. He'll look at me and he just kind of gives me that eye and that's just, oh man, that's gross. That makes me crawl. But two guys and then
hasn't anybody hipped you to the fact though that if you went with this plan that you'd eventually get some money out of these people like you do out of everybody that's married?
It's not important to me, Don. It's not really important to me at all. I had a bad experience in the National Guard. And I don't want to really talk about it right now, but I talked to my mama about it, and she told me it was about the worst thing that could happen to a man in the National Guard. And I tell you right now, I feel very strongly about
that. Did you receive the verbal heart?
I didn't go that far. In fact, I didn't tell anybody about it. But it's just, there's just, people all the time, don't you know how it is when one of those gays... We'll look at you. You know, it's weird, man. I tell you, I would have made an exception for Rock Hudson and Gomer Pyle. But, man, I tell you right now, this is just not acceptable.
So what's wrong with...
It's important. This really makes my flesh crawl. It's gross. It's bad.
Let me
boo, boo thing. Boo.
Let me
gay marriage. No, wrong.
Okay, hold on now.
Go back in those bars they go to.
Hold
That's
on.
Where they should stay.
Hold on. You're talking about boys and men, right? Guys?
Yeah, guys, of course, man.
What about women?
The same thing. It's that same thing. Well,
no, come on.
All right, I'll tell you one time. I could make an exception. You know, I watched that Britney Spears Madonna thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was. That was okay.
You bet your ass that was okay.
The other thing's gross, man. It just bothers me to no end. I tell you right now, and I just think that it's going to unravel. And if I say yes to this and I don't make a stand right here, the next thing you know, I mean, you're just going to have men proposing to men all over the place, and then that's just going to be bad, and Mama will get mad.
Now, so is this directive coming from Mama and from the other George Bush?
As of last week, I met with several of my advisors. from a very, very supportive...
Can I tell you something?
Very supportive and there religious are, segment of the Republican
there
Party.
There are people who work in your party,
yes.
And there are Republicans that are homos.
No way!
Yes, there are.
Ew!
There
are. Man, no! Ew! Gross! Don't say that to me. You're going to get me all... Hey, look at my goosebumps. You can't see them because we're on that super secret radio having my desk. But I tell you, I made a conscious decision last week. I threw out all of my Liberace records. And as you know, I have been a big supporter of his work.
Yeah.
He is a wonderful piano player.
You didn't know he's a homo?
I didn't know until somebody told me. I said, well, I've got to make a statement. If I'm going to stand up for marriage only being between a man and a woman, I've got to know right now that anything that can tie me to that thing... It's got to be bad. I was talking to Arnold Schwarzenegger. We were saying, man, that is so gross. Well, he works out there in Hollyweird, and he was telling me that, you know, he walks around all the time. He'll go into a restaurant, and, you know, he'll be in a men's room, and he'll get that look. And I know what that look
is. What look is that, George?
I'll give you an example,
okay?
That's before I was president, because I got security surrounding me.
Right.
I was able to take care of things all by myself, if
right.
You know what I mean. I was sitting there one time, and I was on a campaign trail. I think I was running for governor. Or I might have been on... Yeah, now I remember. It's coming to me now, Don.
Okay.
It's when I owned the Texas Rangers baseball club.
Oh.
And I was in a public restroom.
Yes.
I know he was one. I know he was one. Because he came in, and he was looking at me. And he was looking at me real funny, like, real bad, like... So I said, no, that's wrong. Don't you look at me. And I couldn't, like, I don't believe in, like, violence or anything like that. But it just made me, I just wanted to turn around and say, gross, pay attention to what you're doing, son. That's no reason to be looking at a man like that in that special starry-eyed way.
You know.
And I've had men all my life, including that time in the National Guard, look at me in a starry-eyed way.
Hey, you know that even if you don't allow...
I was fine in that uniform, and I know I am.
Even if you don't allow... gay men, homos, and lesbians, women to get married, you know that they're still going to be doing this.
Not if I do it, if it's in the Constitution.
You can't ban it.
They might.
Listen, you can't. But what about the FCC?
Yeah, a long time ago, the FCC?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just want to say I've been listening to your show, and I think it's real funny what you're doing. And I appreciate the efforts you're making to get rid of some of that trash potty stuff that you were doing.
Yeah, well, this segment right here would be one that could have gone. It could have easily gone down that road.
Well, I was going to tell a story, and probably wouldn't be all that appropriate for your new format, but I feel I have to include it.
All right.
Back and bring it up again. It's important. It's important to share this with our country.
Because you don't want gay marriage because it's gross.
It's gross because of one thing.
Listen, I'm not saying I don't agree with him.
I'm just getting
his thoughts.
I will tell you right now.
It is gross.
Back when I was in the National Guard, I looked fine in my uniform.
Yeah.
In fact, I was told by many men and women that I looked so good in my uniform that I was a credit to it. And they meant more than just the fact that I was a credit to serving my country. Hey, man, I look good.
Yeah, well.
It was almost like it was tailored for me.
Someone beat you up with a handsome stick.
And then that one day when this fellow was looking at me and I felt all head spinning and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, I thought the room stopped. And then I came to my senses and I went, no! Gross!
So you had a moment.
Touch me.
You had a moment of indecision, though.
I had a moment of indecision.
You had So you are, at least in your mind...
I believe we can all yield to temptation once in a while, but it's important that I stand up as the leader. And I spoke to several very important Christian leaders of this party.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm going to get on TV in the middle of the day when all those smarmy soap operas with all their bad things going on. And we know all those guys that are in those soap operas are just like that.
Huh.
You know that's the way they are. They go on those soap operas.
Why
not pretend they're policemen and doctors and lawyers and stuff, but what they are is
faggots.
They're gays.
Mm. Yeah, right, sure.
Yeah, gross. Man, I tell you, that bothers me. I tell you, it really does. So I just thought I'd get right on TV and say, we're going to do a constitutional amendment.
What if?
That'll make sure the marriage stays where marriage should.
What if Ted Kennedy wanted to marry Trent Lott?
Well, I'd have to look the other way.
Mm-hmm. What if?
Because it would be political fodder to get me real.
What if your brother Jeb told you that he wanted to marry that crazy homo guy from Entertainment Tonight.
That never happened. Jeff had his own horror story.
Mm-hmm.
And that was back when we were visiting in Texas. He came down and we drank about two cases of Lone Star one day. And man, oh man, he told me a story. I'm not going to repeat it because he might never be governor again.
So you're not.
But I looked at him just like I'm looking at you right now. When he finished his story, even though I can't go into the sordid details, I went, gross! Come on, but son, don't talk to me about
listen,
that.
How come you didn't expound on this theory while you were on TV today? How come you didn't say it was gross today on TV?
I didn't think that would be appropriate. My advisor said, Mr. President, it's very important that you don't share those innermost feelings that you have and your distaste for that lifestyle with the mass audience. It would not be becoming, and some might consider it to be overtly prejudiced against those type of people. That's why I said during my speech, it's important for us to have a vigorous and open dialogue.
Off the
that's
record.
What I said on camera, but inside I was going, gross!
Off the record.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan Jr.
Yeah.
He was a ballet dancer.
Yeah. And they all are. We all know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So absolutely. Well, you know, I try to distance myself from that end of the party.
Sure.
You don't need to worry about that type of thing. But I'll tell you, I've got... Well, there's a term for it. It's called gaydar. And mine is laser sharp, son. Just like the kind of you'd have in a Black Hawk helicopter.
You have?
I have gaydar. I can tell. I can walk into your room, and I can tell you right away exactly who's gay and who's not.
I'm going to call a man in right now.
Where's Hello?
Joe? Hey, Joe. Oh, Charlie? Charlie, thank you. Hey, come on in, Joe. Have Joe come in.
I just want to say, while he's coming in here, can I compliment your radio station? I'm a very big fan of your show. I enjoy that, and I like Bill O'Reilly, and he's very, very attractive, but I control my whims.
What about this gentleman right here? Here he is.
Joe Arden.
Take it out. Take out your gaydar.
Hold on a second.
What do you think? Look. Hi, Joe.
Man, that hair,
hi.
Hey. That hair looks like one of them. Yep. Your hair looks like one of them, but are you married?
No.
He's gay.
Gross!
Well, there you go.
Hey, President Bush?
Yeah, go ahead, Don.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
It just occurred to me.
Go right ahead.
How is it that you can see, Joe, when we're talking to you on your super secret two-way radio
because
from the White House?
I thought you put him on your super secret picture phone.
I haven't even seen him.
How do you know that I can't see all of you, but you can't see me?
That's right.
There's the trick that's on you, oh Swami of the airwaves. I am able to observe and I've analyzed your behavior, and I've seen you. You are not gay.
Well, if I was, that would be gross, right?
That would be gross.
It's
not appropriate, but I will turn off my super secret Artinger cam now, so I won't see it. I got to run. I'm going hunting with David Guest.
Bye, George.
Have a good day, and listen to me. Re-elect me. Please, things aren't going well.
Listen, you got to help us. Dude, hold on a second. Before we lose the connection, what about how we've had to change our show? I mean, we're okay changing our show, but can't you help us?
Son, your country will be proud. Mamo says you're doing a great
Andy,
job.
Can't you help us?
Goodbye.
Help goodbye.
Well, bye, Annie M.
Bye,
Annie M.
It broke up before he could help us.
I lost him. He's gone. He's gone.
No, yeah, that's the way he really feels, I guess.
That was a big thing on TV today.
Oh.
No gay marriage.
Wow.
That is gross.
He doesn't like that.
Gotta break. Be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hope we do as good in our commercial. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. Switch to Singular Wireless, and ye will get a wireless company that offers ye and ye family the best plans possible.
Ye are right, my friend. Only Singular Wireless has family talk, and Singular is the only place for rollover.
Ah, you know the old rollover. The rollover plan is great. It allows you to roll over your unused minutes month to month for up to a year.
Rollover. And when you add great features to your account that total $4.99 or higher.
You mean like text messaging or roadside assistance?
Exactly. You'll get a swell LG 4010 flip phone free. No hassles, no rebates to fool with.
And right now, Singular is waiving the activation fees on national plans $39.99 and higher with a 1 or 2 year contract.
So why wait? Run screaming to your nearest Singular store. Visit www.singular.com for phones and features.
By the phone. Tough guy.
Tough guy.
Hey, tough guy.
Restrictions apply. Tough guy.
The Don and Mike Show.
Tough guys.
WKFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
I must not scream. I must not scream in front of them. I must say, I must not listen to my mind. I must not run off the set. I must not run. I must not run. I know I'll break down. They'll find out I'm weak. They'll find out I'm in pain. Oh, God. What God? I will break down, look like a fool, an idiot. They'll find out I can't act. Can't act at all. End of the vision. Well, there must be a way out. And my mind is telling me there's a way out. You get a nice, cool gun.
We'll talk with Phyllis Diller and continue with our panel right after this. Don't go away.
Don and Mike Show.
Good segue, Larry.
Sure. They are Icelandic cowboys in the West. Don and Mike.
We'll give away that trip to Iceland from IcelandAir.com. Give it away at some point during today's show. Phone scan coming up. I'll hold up with your calls for one more break. Mike, I'm sad.
You are?
And I'm not sad for the reason that you might think I'm sad.
Okay?
I'm not sad for any of those reasons.
All right.
I'm sad because Joe Vitaleri.
Who?
Joe Vitarelli.
Vitarelli?
Joe Vitarelli's dead.
Who's Joe Vitarelli?
He's a friend of ours.
Oh, he is?
He's a friend of mine.
Ah.
I mean, he's not really a friend of mine. He's a friend of ours.
Yeah?
When I say the word jelly, what do you think of?
Jelly?
Yeah.
I think of something you put on toast.
I think of the guy that was in Analyze This.
Oh, Jelly, like the big guy.
Yeah. Jelly.
Big guy with the bad skin.
Dead.
Jelly's gone?
Jelly's dead.
Well, Jelly didn't exactly look real happy and healthy.
He was only 66. He was in Analyze This.
Yeah.
And he was in Analyze That.
And he was in a million other mafia movies.
Right. Starting in, I guess, like 1990. He was in all the mob movies. I don't know if he was in Goodfellas.
He wasn't in the serious mob movies. He was always in the comedy mob movies.
He was like in the movies like Married to the Mob.
Right, exactly.
Or Analyze That. Or
he was a very cartoon-like wise guy.
Wasn't he in Mickey Blue Eyes?
I'm sure he was.
Yeah, he was. With that awful one with Hugh Grant.
he had a big role in Mickey Blue Eyes.
Jelly. So anyway, goodbye, Jelly.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
I just want to say bye to Jelly.
Jelly.
Yeah, forget about it.
That's my lead story. Today, out of all the stories in the news, that's my lead story.
Do you know, I realized last night also, I watched Donnie Brasco, and they were running Donnie Brasco in an old movie, a relatively old movie, and I'd never watched Donnie Brasco all the way through, and I was saying to myself, I thought I'd seen it all, and then I realized I hadn't, because Donnie Brasco has some wonderful gratuitous violence in it.
Oh, of course.
I mean, and I didn't remember that.
Loaded with it.
When Bruno Kirby gets whacked.
Yeah, right. And what
then
about...
Then they cut the guy's leg off.
It's been a long time since I've seen it, but doesn't Bruno Kirby have like a
Dutch boy haircut? Dutch boy haircut.
And Johnny Depp is so deep undercover.
Right.
After they kill Bruno Kirby...
He's got to dismember the body.
They're slicing the body up.
Yeah.
There you go.
Forget about it.
Jelly. Bye, Jelly. Okay. Jesus. Jesus Christ. Jesus H. Christ. Jesus Christ. Look at this in USA Today.
Mm-hmm. It's everywhere.
Look at this. Now, the movie
the
starts...
of the Christ. Yeah.
Now, the movie starts tomorrow.
Fashion.
And I love this, that in USA Today, they have... I'm showing Mike this up in the office. They do this for almost every movie that comes out now.
Mm-hmm.
But this is funny because it's about Jesus.
Yeah.
It's a primer for the movie The Passion.
Very good.
And because USA Today... apparently is going for people who are about a third grade education.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case you don't know, they give you a little who's who here.
Oh, good.
Who's who in the final hours? Jesus.
Oh,
and then
good.
There's a picture of Jesus and a little summation of Jesus.
They should explain that.
Then there's Mary.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then there's Mary Magdalene.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Judas and Satan. And look at it. It's all done in this cute USA Today style where you got a guy bloody beyond belief on the cross,
right.
But right down there, who's who in the final hours? Like it's survivors.
Meet the players.
You're right. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's,
you know, you would think when you say who's who, you would think it would be like a bio of the actor playing the role. No. It's actually telling us who the
Jesus
biblical
was.
Characters are.
Right, like you don't know who Jesus is.
Well, I'm reading, if you read the little article up here, it says a survey show 40% of Americans seldom or never go to church.
Mm-hmm.
But I would still think that that people would have a working knowledge, at least people that have any
stories.
Background.
Listen, even if you don't know, you certainly have said his name. you got to know that in some context, Jesus Christ either means something good or something bad.
And
right?
Down here on the bottom, in case you didn't know, it's got a picture of the Last Supper. And if you didn't know that, they go on to explain Jesus' final meal with his followers.
So the Last Supper was his final meal.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Buzz. Yeah.
Also known as the final meal.
I see.
And all of this outlined for you in USA Today.
That's and then if you go further, you look to the left and you get the fiber content of some common foods.
That's your USA Today at work, ladies and gentlemen.
Pie chart.
That's very true. There's only 4 grams of fiber and a half cup of raw broccoli.
Don, if you look down in the lower right, you got the other central figures, too.
Oh, there you see that. But those are small print, Mike. You got your high priest, you got your Pontius Pilate, you got your Herod Pilate,
the crowds.
Yeah. The Bible says high priests incited Jewish crowds to urge Pontius Pilate to crucify Jews, but the motives...
Jesus.
Yeah, right.
Okay. You know, that's, I think, the whole controversial nature of the movie right there is that this movie shows the Jewish crowd being incited and that and kind of... I haven't seen it, so I don't want to comment on something I haven't seen. That's where the charges of anti-Semitism come
right.
from.
Does anybody... I know I've said this before, but does anybody really know for sure that all of this happened?
Well, it's all about faith, Don.
Okay.
That's right. But no, I would say it would be impossible to empirically prove that it happened. But
Rob,
you know, people
always,
all over the world
worry when we're having a discussion here, and you just kind of hover at the microphone, just waiting to say something.
I was
something.
Just thinking that I thought good casting would be Joe Ardinger as the high priest.
Get out of here!
Thank you, Rob.
Stand at the microphone for 5 minutes, waiting to say that.
It was about Joe.
Thanks.
Okay, all right.
Joe.
That's why. But I'm going to go see it. I'm going to go see it.
So I'm amazed.
I was raised in a Catholic family, so I'm very interested.
You have to go.
I am amazed that people are upset about the movie. I'm amazed. And listen, don't we all know this? Jews killed Christ? I don't think that...
Well, that's the Bible version of it.
Right.
I mean, that's the way,
right.
you know.
Right, and you can either choose to believe it or choose to not believe it.
Well, technically, if you look at it, the Roman...
You go to the
Romans killed Christ.
Yeah, the priest that you mentioned.
And it's just...
Here's the thing about this movie that I wanted to bring up. All of the reviews that I'm reading about this movie say, you will be shocked by the violence in this...
The level of violence.
Yes.
Gore.
Hold on, just for a second.
Okay.
The story, as I remember it being told to me, was about a guy who basically had the crap beaten out of him.
Mm-hmm.
They dragged him through the streets. They put nails through his hands and his legs and put him up on a cross. Now, the movie's based on the last 12 hours of his life. I don't think he had time for a latte or for an extra value meal. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that those last 12 hours of Jesus' life, if in fact it happened like everybody says...
Right.
They were probably pretty bad hours.
Pretty brutal, yeah.
So knowing that the movie's based on the last 12 hours of this guy's life, why are all the critics coming back and saying, we are surprised?
And when you say we all know, I just want to clarify what you're saying, because I don't think you know what you're talking about. When you say we all know that Jews killed Christ, there's a humanity... killed Christ. That's
right.
The interpretation.
That's the message.
That's the message that comes through in the Bible.
But Jesus was a Jew, and Jesus was a Jew, and but there were
everybody was on hand for that. I mean, you can, and that's that's the way it is. I mean, that's the way. And even Mel Gibson, I think, has said that humanity was responsible for the death of Christ.
Well, I wasn't there. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you. I've read many different versions. I'm just surprised when you get. Beyond the rhetoric of whatever I brought up here with if you believe it or not, if it's true or not, why is everybody so flipped out that the movie's graphic?
I don't understand
And I guess what they want to say, we're able to give you the story of what we really think happened to Jesus. Now, this is where they're going to put the nail in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not going to see it. You're just going to hear the big that sound, and then you cut to a shot of his face.
Mm-hmm.
Him going, and what did he say? Because he couldn't say Jesus Christ.
You know, really, for believers, I would think that really a version of this horrible death, what's it supposed to be? I think, if anything, over the years, it's been sanitized a little bit.
It's not a feel-good favorite?
No!
It's not a Friday night, day night movie?
I mean, probably one of the worst methods of execution ever invented in the history of mankind.
Well, I think that's sort of the message that Mel Gibson is trying to do, is that really what Christ went through, and that's, he doesn't want it to be sanitized.
You couldn't have used Velcro.
No. They didn't have Velcro back then, bud.
Exactly. You know, but there's a part of me with all of this, and it's a very sensitive subject. It's a sensitive subject with Jews, with Catholics, yep. with all religious groups. There's a part of me that I ask everybody, this is still Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. It's just
this
a movie.
This is still the movie machine, and really, when you talk about publicity and PR for a movie
that's
got this much buzz on it.
Listen,
no offense, buzz.
Let me just say.
I mean, I always say beware. I've said this forever. Yeah. Beware of the Hollywood PR.
Really hyped.
You know, they got us talking about Jesus. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
That's how far it's trickled down.
Wow. And I think that I heard that Mel Gibson was asked because of his, I think he's only been involved in this, this part of the Catholic Church for 12 years.
About that.
And he is... They've asked him, well, you know, because of the subject matter, what are you going to do with the proceeds of this? I don't think he's answered that question yet, has he?
Well,
as far as what he's,
listen,
what he's going to do.
Here's who cares?
His movie.
Yeah, who cares? I've heard that argument, too. Mm-hmm. Who cares if Mel Gibson's making a lot of money off this? Mm-hmm. Should he give all the money away?
I bet there are people that, you know, that are part of his... area of the Catholic Church, which I know very little about, that might say that he's doing a lot, apparently,
and
for
more,
the church out
more importantly,
Malibu.
How come when I open up USA Today...
It's weird to hear Malibu. It's weird to hear church in Malibu in the same sentence. I know there are churches in Malibu, but
how come there's
know.
Not a primer for Euro Road Trip, or whatever that movie is? How come
right.
the only primer...
I bet you'd get one.
How come the only primer...
I'm going to show you the next time we get a primer for a movie like
it's
that.
It's for Jesus. I know Jesus.
Jesus, you know?
I know him. He's all right. He's all right with me.
I think this is the very...
He's just all right.
This is the very... He's just all right with you.
Well, that's that song.
This is the very basic right here. You've got the very basic outline.
No.
And I would venture to say there are probably people... I think everybody would know Jesus.
You're
and everybody
funny.
Would know that Mary was his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, and most people, I would say most people would know Judas. You get into Mary Magdalene, and I think
a lot of people think she, a lot of people think she's married to James Carville. So maybe it's good that USA Today.
Maybe you're right.
Prince, yeah. who Jesus is, who everybody knows.
Now
anyway,
know.
Listen, the whole thing is, you're right, everybody's right. It's a mess. It's an angry mess.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And it's just going to make money. And, mm-hmm. and I don't care. Let him make money with it. I just wish it was in English.
Yeah.
He's going to have an astounding opening weekend because what I had heard, and this I know of two churches just around here that
yes.
have done it, have gone out and bought like 10,000 tickets already
right.
to, you know, distribute among their parishioners.
Well, Rob, I base all of my interpretations on movies on a local Channel 4 movie reviewer, Arch Campbell.
Campbell.
And watching Arch's review last night, Arch really went on a limb by saying,
four
it's
stars?
Going to offend some people, it's going to enlighten some people. He didn't, I don't think he even used the word enlighten. He, you know, it was a typical
sure.
Arch Campbell review
took no stand,
which was quickly.
I want to tell you,
which was
this guy that plays Jesus when he's up there. Oh, you feel the nails for News 4. I'm Arch Campbell,
and the incredible value of the local news, which we've always said is the most valuable thing on television,
yeah.
was preceded by the safety lady, the lady that's going to
Liz
show
Crenshaw?
You what to do. And no, this was some other lady they were interviewing that is going to protect you when you're walking into your parking lot. And one of the big things she did was approach this lady in one of the local shopping malls who had left her package on the table.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know,
very, very instructive.
What I do for safety in the parking lot is always avoid Arch Campbell when he's
yeah.
polishing his bumper.
Run. I said, now, when I come into a...
He's got the vish memory, Robin.
He was polishing his car.
Yes, he was white wearing a motoring cap and polishing his
the
car.
The other tip this lady gave the locals is that when you're going to your car, I like to go in a big circle and look on either side to see if there's anybody waiting.
Well, it sweeps, Mike. That's why everything is right. to save your life.
What I'm saying is sweeps are fine, but what they do is they tease the story and they set the story up like you're really going to get some information.
No, you're not. It's just
and then
news.
You just zip.
Right.
Right.
Because
exactly
you require
right.
a journalist to get any more information.
They're hoping
that.
We won't figure that out.
No, if I understand this correctly, this Jesus... He's a tough guy. So, Jesus, you're a tough guy, huh?
Tough guy.
Let's see how tough you are, Jesus. Come on up here, J-Man. So, the movie opens tomorrow.
Right.
And it'll be, you know, a big blockbuster.
Huge.
I guarantee I won't see it, not because of any other reason than the fact that it's not in American.
No.
I mean, that it's in subtitles. It's Well, Mike told me. You saw the ad last night.
Aramaic.
And it's like...
No, it's Aramaic.
Everybody says that, but no, it's Aramaic.
Aramaic.
It's spelled M-I-C at the end. Aramaic.
Is Aramaic very close to, as a language, to Arabic?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
All right, here you go.
It rhymes with it.
How did they teach... I mean, that must have been very tough for the actors, I would have
They could have just made it up.
Well, of course, they can get like Ace the Buchanan on One Life to Live. They can have big cue cards.
Yeah, but really, if it's a language that is only going to be understood, who speaks this language in this modern world?
Is it a dead language?
Yes, it is, as a matter of fact.
Well, then you could fake it. You could speak Klingon
then. Yeah, you could say yabba dabba doo.
Right, yes, absolutely. Anyway, that's
true. You're not going to go see it?
No. Are you kidding? Forget it.
I'm going to wait till everything dies down.
You've logged more time in the big house than I have as far as church.
Yeah, and I'm comfortable with it. I know the story. I'm pretty sure I believe the story of how it happened. I don't feel the need to go see it.
Yeah.
I understand.
Don't you think, though, that you believe in the story?
Sometimes.
You believe in the Bible?
Sometimes.
Okay. You think this would... I would go to see it just...
your Catholic guilt! You're going because you're guilty!
No. Oh, I'm going to think maybe it'll hit a circuit or something like that.
I know how it ends.
Maybe it'll jumpstart me, you know? I've got a spiritual void in my life. Maybe that would... I'd be curious to see it. I'd be curious. Now, why do you mock that?
I'm not...
Why do you mock me?
I'm not... Did you all hear me say anything?
Ladies and gentlemen, there's not a camera in the studio. This cannot be seen on television.
Right.
He was smirking at me and rolling his eyes.
Because I feel bad for you, because...
Why do you feel... Now you make me mad when you feel bad for me. Why do you feel bad for me?
Because you're at a spiritual loss, and you think that a Mel Gibson movie is going to help you realize, like, you're going to go to the movie, and you're going to go there, and you're going to see it, and you're going to go... When you come out, that's it.
No. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen either.
But I'm curious about the, you know, to see how the story is portrayed. And actually, you know, because I do not go to church on a regular basis. I'm, you know, and because I was raised in a devoutly Catholic family, it interests me. That's why it interests me. And if it was something that moved me and touched me, as I hear people have been moved and touched by this story, then I think that's terrific. That's a good thing. And you're trying real hard now not to mock me. Smirk at me.
I'm not mocking. I'm not smirking.
And then do the worst thing you ever do to me, which is feel bad for me.
I do feel bad for you.
I hate that.
I do feel bad for you. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Poor guy. You couldn't pick your own TV show last night. You're going to go see Mel Gibson's movie just because maybe that, you know, God's going to come to you.
Mike, everything's okay. You're a good guy. Don't worry. They're screwing around with you at work, but you're a good guy. Don't worry that you're having problems with your ex-wife. You're okay, Mike. Now get the hell out of this theater.
Go. And then it'll be the Clint Eastwood voice going, go.
Go. Okay. Christ, no pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
Christ, enough of that. Justin Timberlake will not be, brought this to your attention a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Timberlake will not be hosting the ABC Motown special.
Ouch.
And it's partly because, now, here's the answer that they've given as to why they fired him as the co-host. He and Lionel Richie. Lionel Richie still gets the job.
Mm.
Justin Timberlake doesn't because, first, it's a cultural insult to the black community. Because, you know, you can't have a white guy on a Motown show. And then second, well, you know, because of the whole Super Bowl thing.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people feel that Justin kind of got off scot-free from this whole controversy. And you know what? I'm one of those people because he did get off scot-free and we got suspended.
Yep. But I think that they address it here. Hold on. The African-American pundits, outraged about the choice of Timberlake, called it, quote, a cultural insult to the black community. Why don't you just be upfront about it? Motown is a black music. You don't want a white guy standing up there. Just say that.
Well, but in a way, isn't that what they're saying?
Yeah, but they're also hiding behind. They're saying that's part of the reason. Mm-hmm. And oh yes, also the whole Super Bowl thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
just,
right,
come
exactly.
On, just come.
Or even
to the party.
Why don't they be even more honest about it and just say he really doesn't have any appreciable talent?
Mm-hmm. And Mike, the Millionaire Show. That you were forced to watch last night?
Yes.
You wanted to watch CSI?
I wasn't forced. Now, don't get me in trouble now.
It is getting...
You are just full of beans today.
How will that get you in trouble?
No, I mean, I wasn't forced to watch anything.
But how would it get you in trouble? Would it get you in trouble because your girlfriend has a hold on you?
No, not at all. You?
What? What am I saying that's wrong?
Nothing at all. Just
what
keep
am I
going.
Saying?
Keep
what
going.
Doing? What am I doing?
No, I wasn't forced. I'm disagreeing with you. I wasn't forced.
Oh, you don't want your girlfriend to hear this?
I don't think she'd like to hear that I was forced. It's not like I was handcuffed to watch The Millionaire Show.
But did you say it wasn't your choice to watch it?
It was not my. It would not have been my personal choice, no, but I wasn't forced.
Everything
is not forced, Don.
Are you taking her to
You don't always force it.
Are you going to take her to the Jesus movie?
Yes, I am.
You think a light will go off over her head, and halfway through the movie, all of a sudden she'll go, oh, I just got a message from God. You're almost twice my age.
Jeez. Wow. My God.
I'm just blowing off some steam today.
Wow.
Just blowing off some steam.
That's all right. You go home and read your Bible. See if you can get that story right. Double check it. Double check your facts on that one.
Okay, so you're saying Jews didn't kill Jesus.
No, this is dangerous ground. This is what all the stuff is about. The fact is, the Romans did. The Romans nailed him to the cross. Mm-hmm. That's who did it. And there were Jews, there were people from other faiths, it's humanity that was part of that whole thing.
Then why have I heard for so long the opposite?
Because you've been listening to people that have said that as it's used in a very negative context to incite anti-Semitic feelings.
I'm not for that.
I know you're not.
I'm not for that.
That is what all the controversy is about, because the way it's interpreted is that one of the high priests, is it one of the Jewish high priests who goes in front of the crowd,
right.
And that's the way this is the way I hear it. I haven't seen the movie, so I'm not comfortable talking about what's in the movie, but that's the way it happens.
The Romans and the priest got everybody, riled up, and then it happened.
Just like us. Just like us. Yeah. We're just like Jesus. We're persecuted just like Jesus.
We are. Each and every day.
They're not using nails on us. They're using paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
It's one piece of paper after another.
It's just a very, very scary time to be alive right now.
You can bleed to death from paper cuts.
At the Millionaire Show.
Right.
The Millionaire Show that you were forced to watch last night.
Do you think we go to see this movie that all of a sudden God's going to talk to my girlfriend and she's going to go running out of the theater?
Yeah.
Dinner!
The Millionaire Show. I'm blown away by this.
Yeah.
It is a smash.
It is.
It is a cotton-picking smash. Sunday night when it was on against Sex and the City,
mm-hmm.
17 million viewers. It killed Sex and the City.
Why is it?
It killed Law and Order.
Why is it popular? Really, really, why? Is it because it's got fancy, flashing lights?
The lights. Same as Leno.
What is wrong with our country?
They like lights.
I think everybody likes the dumb questions at the beginning, which is the part that I hate the most.
I hate that so much. That is my least favorite part of the show.
It seems to be what people like. And face it, people like dumb old Regis.
Yeah, it's horrible.
At least in a very short burst for like 5 nights.
Uncle Regis.
Think Regis is like every uncle you have that comes before you, you play like Scrabble with, who's an idiot?
There's no way that you could look at this and say that it's anything except him, because it's the same dumb game show that we got burned out on
right.
4 years ago. The only reason we're watching it again is because... Hey,
how are you, Bobbo?
Hey, Bobbo. Hey, Bobbo.
Hey, Bobbo, what's happening?
Hey, Bobbo, have you seen that movie?
Bobbo.
Hey, Bobbo. I had a crazy discussion on the Dynamite Show today, Bobbo. Bobbo, find me this book they were talking about.
Bobbo, who's that mother-in-law? Is that a man?
All right, let's clear the lines and do a phone scan. And many other topics to get to, but we have no time today. 877-365-3636 from America. Canada, 800-636-1067. D.C., 202-432-1067. Nothing's off limits except all the things that are off limits.
Amen.
So call, hey, they go, Mike. Amen, that was for you.
Just getting ramped up to go see the movie.
Be right back. Phone scan next.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I want to do something meaningful with my life, Maury. I have deeper thoughts on my mind. The other day, I was thinking about volunteering to help teach underprivileged children to learn how to read. And just thinking about it was the most rewarding experience I've ever had.
Derek, I don't think you're cut out for that kind of thing.
I mean, maybe I could even have my own institute. We could call it the Derek Zoolander Center for Kids Who Can't Read. Good.
The Don and Mike Show.
You get the song?
They cherish most of their listeners. Don and Mike.
Jesus, He Knows Me.
There it is.
By the Gen Men.
Rockin'.
14 after.
How you doing?
Here we go with your calls on the phone scan at 877-365-36. Dial now, dial recklessly. Here we go, your live calls. We've not given away the trip to Iceland either.
No, we have not.
And we'll do that here. Maybe not right now, but before we get out of here today. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Now, Buzz, I don't know what paper you saw the Aramaic, the term Aramaic, but
Aramaic.
It's Aramaic. I know that they misspelled it. Aramaic is almost a dead language, but it is spoken in certain small areas around the world. And
where do you hear the Aramaic? Because I heard the same. I heard somebody correct somebody for saying Aramaic to Aramaic,
unless it's pronounced differently, but it's spelled Aramaic.
Aramaic.
Dogs love cheese.
Related to biblical Hebrew. And I said, no, it's pronounced because my husband can sort of speak it because he's a rabbi.
Ah.
So,
I defer to the rabbi. But it's, all the press accounts I've seen, and I've seen many, they have all spelled it Aramaic.
Well, they have to learn how to spell.
Yeah.
I'm the dumbest guy in the room. I still don't know what we're talking about.
I'll
simplify it for you. Subtitles.
Thank you, Mrs. Carvel.
Bye.
Thank you.
Mary Magdalene calling.
Yes. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, hey, there's a little bit of confusion you guys are having who actually killed Jesus. What happened was the Roman soldiers were the ones that drove in the nails, but it was a Jew that told them where they could find him.
Is that a biblical Old Testament, New Testament? You know, we're not biblical scholars.
See, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Jesus. When this whole topic came up, obviously, I'm making a joke.
Rob, you're a biblical scholar?
Yes, that's what I have my master's.
I'll tell you, when it comes to the Bible, I think we all know that we don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Not our wheelhouse.
Judas was the one that told us.
See, here's my thing. When I said the Jews killed Jesus, and Mike said, no, you're not right, I was making a joke. Mm-hmm. Really? Do any of us know?
No, really?
I mean, I'm very serious.
When you go back, it requires a lot of interpretation of stuff that was written. It requires a lot of faith, if you have faith.
So really, none of us were there, and there were no VCRs, and there were no pictures, and all we, frankly, for all you know for so long as all I've told you.
Don't people say about the Bible that you can make, like, 10 different arguments,
interpretation,
and with interpretation of the Bible,
except when it comes to indecency on the radio.
Yeah. That's right.
There, it's crystal clear.
You hit it earlier, though.
Right under probably. The message of the story is that humanity killed Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the message of the story. That's the point of the story.
Yeah, see, and people, I bet people get mad at you for saying story.
Of course,
story.
Of course, they love
my story. Wow. You know, story is one life to live, or
yeah,
or you know, General Hospital.
Right.
That's a story.
That's why they say gospel truth.
They're also true stories.
But, Mike, how do you know that it's the gospel truth?
Do you see me?
How do you know?
Do you see me in the house of God every week?
Hey, listen, I go, but
you still go every week?
No.
You see, you need another bet.
No, I don't.
Way back when, you know what got you? Can I just point out what got you into church?
I know, the Chicago
Baseball.
Cubs. I know.
Baseball got you into church.
And then there was that little thing called the strike.
Yes.
And then lost interest in baseball, kept interest in the church. But
can God get you back to church?
I go enough, I'm comfortable for me going.
Can baseball get you back to church?
No, I don't think so.
I go to church more than I watch baseball, I'll tell you that.
Do you really?
Yeah, I swear to God on that.
Yeah, and this makes me, now I feel guilty. Now the Catholic guilt's coming through because I feel bad that you just said that. I feel hurt that you said that.
Why?
That you go to church more than you watch baseball.
I never watch baseball.
Watch baseball.
I never watch baseball.
Watch baseball and pray for the Red Sox.
Hello? Phone scan, Don and Mike, hello.
Hey guys, what's up?
Hey,
I just, not to get off the topic, but with the Redskins spending all this money, have they ever fixed your car, Don?
Negative, and I've thank you, sir, my friend. I'm going to give you a prize for being concerned about my well-being. Bubba Tire's back! You've got a DVD copy of Oz, the complete third season. Hey, this is some good family viewing.
Yeah.
With bonus features and 22 minutes of never-before-seen footage. Can you imagine it's a show on HBO, but if it's the stuff that didn't make HBO?
But they cut out.
And Oz is pretty rough stuff.
Oz, the third season, everywhere from HBO Home Video. Thank you. And the answer is no. Redskins have not paid for my car yet.
Mm.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, there's still time.
Thank you, my friend. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Enjoy your price. Hello? Phone scan.
Hello?
Got to turn your radio down. Sorry you're gone. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Dad and Mike.
Hi.
I call a long time listener, and I love the new constitutionally amended show. But I also wanted to say that
the lady said before about Aramaic is Mike is correct. It's Aramaic, but she already told you.
Why
are you still on the phone? Though?
I just listen to the news. Okay, mm-hmm. I didn't study this, or I just heard it, and I heard somebody corrected that it's not Aramaic. It's Aramaic.
Now there you are.
And I still want to know what this is. Yeah. It's a language. It's a culture. It's a dessert topping. What is it?
I like the sound of it. Mm-hmm. Aramaic.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike Buzz, huh? Good afternoon.
Hi.
I want to know if y'all caught up that guy in a basketball game that got stood up by his girlfriend.
The guy at the I have no idea what you're talking about.
He was dressed up in one of these big stupid things they do on halftime show.
The mascot uniform costume.
Yeah, he brought her down.
What team?
He jumped out of the thing.
Oh, the Wizards.
Mm-hmm. No one takes off.
How was anybody?
Not really.
Did
the
you
NBA.
Have this in your packet? What is?
I did. Yeah.
What is the? Can you enlighten?
I don't know. See, we live in Washington, but nobody follows the Wizards.
The short version of the story, and you'll thank me for the short version of the story. The guy proposes to his girlfriend. He takes off the head, you know, from the mascot uniform.
Right.
Proposes to her. She buries her head in her hands, and they put up on the scoreboard. She said no. The crowd lets out a big groan, and then they go on with the game.
So she really did say no?
At halftime, yeah. She said no.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's funny. Big time embarrassment.
That guy just hung up. I would have given him a prize. He got you to tell us a good story. That's good. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I got a couple of things, and I'll let you go.
Yeah.
First of all, Bobo, you remind me a little bit of a comic book guy on The Simpsons.
Bobo, last night on The Millionaire Show, yes.
Yeah.
Except the guy answering me these questions three is probably better adjusted than that Bobo.
Yeah. The Bobo character on Millionaire was a little evil. There was something about him that wasn't quite right.
Like maybe he was, maybe that he had some of the same habits that Michael Jackson has.
Yeah. I think that he looked a little crawl spacey to me.
Maybe
reminded me of the DiTech guy.
DiTech.com. That guy's funny. Bobo was too serious.
He is creepy. Mm-hmm. He does have that creepy look.
And if
about
you
him.
Saw the mother-in-law, I think really, if they, you know, if he doesn't win that $500,000, they're knocking over banks on the way back home.
Hello, Don Mike show. Hello. The phone scan.
Don, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey guys.
Hey.
Don, you're on the money, bud. We should boycott the movie. If it's not in English, what's it doing in our country, man?
There you go.
That's the whole problem with this country.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks for standing
that's
behind me.
The whole problem right there.
Right there, that we go to see movies with subtitles.
Yeah.
Make the movie in English.
Silly.
That's all I ask. Hello, Don and Mike. Oops. Okay, that guy hang up or what happened there? Hello, phone scan.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes.
Radio
hi.
God.
Howdy.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi. Listen, I just want to request something from you guys. Can you play the Canadian theme again? Like you used to when you say the 800 number for Canada.
You mean the takeoff,
the theme?
Yeah, no. I just like it. I think it's cool.
Canadian theme.
I missed it.
Tell me how you like this one. That's our new thing now. And that means you're gone.
And that's for the entire continent, right?
That's it. History. Yeah. Canada. Goodbye.
Wow.
Goodbye. Hawaii's better than Canada. And we were bad-mouthing Hawaii before. It's not really been part of the United States.
Take off.
Hello, Don and Mike. This is the Don and Mike show.
Oh, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Right. Hi there.
Hey, did you guys think that Bobo's mom looked like Chris Farley with a wig?
Okay, you know, it could be Chris Farley, it could be Dan Aykroyd, but that was a guy.
I could have sworn that Mrs. Doubtfire was going to pop out of there. Exactly.
So true. Scary bad.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, Don, you going to vote Republican this year?
I'm not voting this year.
No, huh?
I've lost faith in the entire system.
You know,
I thought we had you over on our side this year.
Nah, yeah. There's as many Democrats that are standing up saying that they're all for this indecency thing as there are Republicans.
Can't argue with you.
I'm going to go Nader this year.
Oh, thanks. Well, it's fine. That's good.
Whatever.
That's good if people that do what you do.
It's my protest vote.
Mm-hmm.
I'm voting for Ralph Nader. I figure it'll screw both the other guys up. And then maybe somehow, I don't know, we'll get a president who says there are more pressing issues than doing goofy radio shows with fart sound effects.
That'd be nice.
That's the guy who I'm looking to vote for.
Yeah, where is he?
Jesus, where are you now? Come back and run for president.
Man, it'd be a good time for him to pop back in.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, have a sense of humor, Jesus. Don't come back if you're all tight ass.
No, he has a sense of humor.
Only come back if you're ready to laugh.
That's yes.
It. Hello, Don and Mike.
Unhinge that jaw.
Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Radio Christ.
Hi.
I want to know if Mike's still allowed to do his Michael Jackson impression, and if you will do that more often.
I did it yesterday.
Did you? I
mean, you should listen.
I did it yesterday on the show.
It was during the buzz part of the show, right during the news.
Check out the whole show. You'll enjoy it.
Dude, it's on for 4 hours a day.
I know. It's my favorite show.
Right. Hi.
John and Mike Show.
My favorite show.
Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
I was wondering if you saw the new issue of Maxim with Alicia Cuthbert in it. It's awesome.
I haven't seen that.
I saw an ad for a movie that she's going to be in.
Yes, and theatrical,
it's like,
movie.
The entire world has come to the realization that we came to a couple of years ago on her. It looks like a movie that would star Al Bundy's daughter,
right?
Mm-hmm. Where it's kind of like Risky Business. She opens the door and she's got on a wet bra or something. She, I'm all wet.
It's called, I believe, The Girl Next Door.
And there are two teenage boys. They can't believe that such a beautiful chick
is
there.
Isn't that the one where she plays like a porn star?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
And she's discovered by a neighborhood guy. Not that I've been.
Didn't you get me Maxim, a subscription to Maxim for Christmas?
I told you I did.
No.
And it made you happy.
I didn't know because I get those magazines all the time. I did get one in the mail.
Yes, hello.
Okay. So I'll have that coming to my house.
John and Mike, hello.
Be a dear.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you?
Phone scan. Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
I just have a question to ask you.
Yeah.
What are we listeners supposed to do until we finally get their heads back in order and let you guys do your show like you're supposed to do it?
Honey, we're doing it like we're supposed to be doing it right now.
Enjoy this show.
Well, I do, but I can't understand why other
morning
show and when they come in after you.
Darling, well, darling.
Sweetheart, I love you.
Darling, I love you. Listen, we went through this yesterday. You're going to hear other things on other shows. We can't help it. These are the rules that we've been told to live by. We're going to live by them. We're not bitching about it. We're not complaining about it.
If I can simplify it for you, really, it's no secret for anybody that listens to this show regularly. We were made an example of. That's not going to happen.
And now we're just doing the best that we can. Come on, honey.
We got the message.
You're slowing me down.
Keep it up, guys.
We love you, Don.
Thank you.
Bye,
because all those crazy congressmen live right here where we live.
Bye.
You know, and don't think that I didn't point out in this meeting, because this is one thing that the lawyer said to us.
Yeah.
You have to be very careful because you're right here in Washington, D.C., where the FCC is. I said, so is Howard.
Right. It's on the air here.
Howard Stern is on the same station in Washington that we're on. It doesn't really matter.
You would think.
You would think.
Yeah, well, maybe they've just seen some of those parties at my house.
But it's a double standard. We're doing the best we can. We're not bitching about it.
No.
Come on. And I say to that woman today now, 2 days coming off of our meetings with all the lawyers and stuff.
Right.
If you hadn't have known, if we hadn't peppering this,
you
wouldn't know. You'd think we're doing the same show.
But we all.
That's how scary funny we are.
And you know what? But we tell people what's going on in our lives.
And dig this. We can be funny without having girls come in and say, oh, you're so hot. I'd really like to have sex with you. We can do a show without doing that.
Amen.
Watch us.
We'll do that on our own, Don.
Hello. Don and Mike. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, hey. Where's the caller? There you go. Hi there. Buzz is really going to miss the sex part of the show.
Yeah, more than you and me. And we didn't hate it.
Yeah, he's really going to miss it.
He's going to miss turning that light down, Jim.
I have to make my own fun.
Hello. Are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
I am Alan Limelon, and I am a pretty girl.
Okay.
Incidentally, for anybody that heard that last discussion there, call Buzz in the office.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike, how you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Is it a good sign when a woman breaks
up? Okay.
Now, you bad kid.
Didn't get the memo.
You're in trouble, mister.
I just had to delete that out, dude. Yeah. We can't be talking about that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You knew
I'm
that.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
I'd like to keep it clean.
Call me in the office.
Yeah, he wants to keep it clean. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
I love Don and Mike. I love Don and Mike. I love Don and Mike and Buzz too. I love Don and Mike.
Uh-huh.
I love Robbie's laugh. I love Don and Mike.
That was Buzz clapping.
Yes, I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah, that's only because we got them all hot and bothered.
You are
winner.
You're the winner, sir.
Winner.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're the last caller.
All right. Winner.
Yeah. Hey, what's your name? Where'd you come up with that song? That's a great song.
I bet that made up for the last 2 years.
You're kidding me. You're kidding me.
Wow.
Hold on. You are asking me. Tell me. That you just didn't make that up right when you called?
Well, I know it's simple, but I thought you'd like it.
I don't think it's simple at all. No. I think it's complex and it's simplistic.
The beauty of it.
My friend, you, listen, Mr. Talent, when are you going to be on American Idol?
Never. I'm too old.
You're never too old.
How old are you?
You sound like you're 8 years old.
I know. I'm 28.
28. Yeah. You're not too old to be on American Idol. Let us hear that original tune one more time. Would you please?
Yeah. I love Don and Mike.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having him do that.
You've won the Curb Your Enthusiasm prize pack. Don't miss the all-new episode of HBO's hit comedy series Curb Your Enthusiasm this Sunday night, 9:30, 8:30 Central, only on HBO.
Thank you, sir.
Hear it a little more, please.
I love Don and Mike.
Thank you.
So happy with himself.
Hey, I saved a bunch of money by switching to Geico, too.
That's good.
He's all right. Hold on a second. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Young lady, what do you want to do with your life?
I want to live in a van down by the river.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to live in a van down by the river when you're living in a van down by the river.
The Don and Mike Show.
The keynote speaker.
Oh, we have to delete that one out. That was a rejoiner that mentioned excrement. Let's try it again.
Oh, hold on. Give me the record again.
We gotta go through all of our stuff now.
Yeah, it's no big deal. It's a little sad.
The Don and Mike Show.
Here we go.
Wow. I'm not kidding. Two rejoiners in a row that are now off guard.
Right, two for two.
I mean, off color. We can't play them.
Wow. That was back to back, wasn't it?
One of them was something about something that you guys used to eat on this show.
Right.
And the other one was about a place where you go to see naked women.
Mm-hmm. That's it. And they were both back-to-back.
Now let's...
Not just now. Just suffice to say we're back.
Oh, we're out of delay.
Ah, we're back. Okay.
We're out of delay. That means right now we're working without a net.
Uh-huh.
And we were told during times when we have no delay
to
not say anything.
To pray. Just be very deliberate. Is that what it is, Don? Or total silence?
They said if you don't have delay, don't say anything.
Right. Really?
Yeah. Ramps up faster with sound.
Up there.
Can we hum?
It's on. So now we get...
It's on!
We can try to come out of the commercial again.
Yeah.
And see if this rejoiner is now acceptable.
The Don and Mike Show.
When in Los Angeles, they dine at Vivian.
Perfect.
Don and Mike.
Yeah. Whew, that one works just fine. Can I guess someone's... I think we got about 80 of those things with Dude Walker. You got to go through those, Robbie. You got to go through them. I was having a chat with the idiot program director, Cameron Gray, saying to him, you know, we've got 2,500 tapes on the wall.
Yeah.
There are a lot of tapes that have material that is now questionable.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so what do you want me to do? I said, I want you to go through those tapes and tell me which ones are okay to play, which ones aren't okay to play.
Uh-huh.
And he said, well, as far as I'm concerned, they're all okay.
Hey, there you go.
So this is what
I've been hearing that a lot.
So you're the stupid program director. Oh, hold on. We got a guy on the line now. We're ready for it because we can't do the Mike and Mike show and the Victor Cal show.
Right.
Now we're going to be Harry and Jeff.
Right. Yes, the Harry and Jeff show.
And here's the setup on this. Photographer flushing his talent away. Literally, a guy, and the guy's name is A-Rod, Adrian Rodriguez.
Huh.
Has been photographing colorful dyes as they drip into his toilet bowl to make what he calls toilographs.
Wow, wonderful. Okay.
So let's interview him now, Buzz, when I hit the button.
I'm ready.
This guy's on the phone. Rob's already
very
got
good.
Him prepped to be on the Harry and Jeff show.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Hitler and Jeff Dahmer. Are you ready, Buzz?
Yes, I'm ready.
And hold on, wait for the music, and here we go.
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's the Harry and Jeff Show. Now, here are your hosts, Harry and Jeff.
What? Don't go going after the Heavenly Buffet. Drive time. 42 past the hour. How you doing on this? Sure, happy it's Tuesday. I'm Harry Hitler, and I'm Jeff Dahmer. Harry Hitler, Jeff Dahmer with you. On a good looking Tuesday, we're joined now by A-Rod. It's not the A-Rod.
No, not the A-Rod. His name is Adrian Rodriguez.
There is he. Hey, Adrian.
Yes, gentlemen.
Hello, how are you, sir?
It's a pleasure to have
Always a pleasure to interview an up-and-coming artist, and we understand your art's somewhat unique.
Hey, Rod, if I could call you that, you're not the baseball player.
No, I'm not a baseball player. I'm a photographer that actually created what they call, what I would call, a toilet graph.
A toilet graph?
Here's all I want to study. We originally had Anita come down from Infinity Broadcasting, saying, but we have to watch the... the brand of collars that we have on the show. Hey,
and I think we should inform Mr. Rodriguez that this is right on the line.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we ask you about how you make art with your toilet,
sure,
you got to make sure that you do it clean, because that's the rule we have on the show.
We can talk about your art work, Mr. Rodriguez.
It's squeaky clean.
But it's really got to be... it's got to be veering away from any of the stuff that would involve a toilet in a normal situation. Do you understand what I'm telling you?
I understand fully, gentlemen.
Let me say hi to everybody, and remember, we don't work blue. 44 past the hour now. I'm Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer.
Two for the road. His name is Ben. His last name is Lott. They'll be on tonight. Ben will be taking your phone calls about the world at large after we're done.
And don't forget, with the new squeaky clean format here, we're going to have our fabulous spring scrubtacular coming up at the local YWCA as we get in there and really work on those floors and bathrooms.
Speaking of the YWCA, you turn that W upside down, that's an M.
Yeah.
And then you've got the crazy, kooky Village People.
YMCA. You like them there, Adrian?
Yes, I do.
Smoke away at 45 past the hour chime time. I'm Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer.
We're on the phone with A-Rod. Not the A-Rod. An A-Rod, a man from Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And who makes fan. Toilet art.
Tell us all about your toilet art.
Well, first of all, I had a problem with photography generally. I was at a standstill.
As do I, if I could mention, El Jefe. We'll broadcast live from Haiti. That's tomorrow morning.
Oh, that's a hotbed of activity, isn't it?
Live from Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
Yeah, the governmental situation down there would be in a standstill, Adrian. And yeah. It's a very, very difficult situation. But our very own bilingual individual, El Jefe.
Traffic and weather together coming up on the 12s. 45 and a half past the hour. I'm Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer. We're speaking with Adrian Rodriguez, who does toilet grabs.
That's crazy. Tell us about it.
Well, first of all, I was in the bathroom at the time trying to get some inspiration.
Hey, I think we asked you, sir,
not to work blue.
Don't work
family
blue.
Show.
I understand. I'm keeping it clean.
What kind of paints do you use?
Actually, I use watercolors, basically food dyes that you would get at a supermarket.
Oh, fantastic. That's great. Speaking of the supermarket, I'll tell you, I had a great meal last night, a chicken pot pie made by Mrs. Dahmer. It was delicious. I truly enjoyed it. Best meat I've ever tasted.
Was there a lot of bones in it?
No, actually, it was bone-free. We thoroughly enjoyed that, Mr. Rodriguez.
I'm trying to think of what Ma Hitler made last night. I'm not really sure if it was some type of Thai food. It was very hot.
Right.
I said... Wow, my mouth is on fire with whatever this is. Yeah. It's better than my five-alarm chili.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm telling you, it was hot. It was something. General
Cho's chicken?
No, they spelled it T-S-O.
General
T-S-O.
Oh, Tsao.
General T-S-O.
Adrian, do you like Chinese food?
I love Chinese food, but I don't put any Chinese food in the toilet grass.
So tell us about your art.
Well, I actually put dyes in the toilet. I clean the toilet first.
We're chatting with Adrian Rodriguez. 47 past the hour chime time. I'm Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer, and I'm reading here. It says that when you put your colors together, they all blend together and turn into turquoise.
Well, that's the one called flush. That's
I love
the one that I actually flush the toilet on. The rest of them are actually still in the water. And the most
I'm not comfortable with you talking about toilet water. I think we've been through this already.
This is true. I tell you, you're insisting on working blue, and that's not what we're all about.
It's clean.
I mean, it really is.
Don't forget, Ron Bennington will be checking out computer scams.
Fantastic.
So you won't get fooled again.
Don't get fooled again.
Traffic weather together coming up on the 12s. It's two for the road. 48 after the hour, I'm Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer. Have I said it today? Is it cold enough for you? We're talking with Adrian Rodriguez about his toilet art. It's known as toilet graphs. Tell us about it.
Well, Well, I created the Toilet Graph because I was at a stalemate. I actually wanted to create something unique and inspirational.
Stalemate, yes, sir. Speaking of stalemates, if you'd like to check out the weekend programming, we're going to have a fabulous show. It's the Wedding Show with Rob Spiewak this weekend. Check it out as he talks about you and your stalemate.
Yeah.
We're talking with Adrian Rodriguez.
Let me just interject here for a moment.
Sure.
Not the A-Rod.
No, not A-Rod.
Another guy named Rodriguez. Adrian Rodriguez. And it's about toilet art. Now, I think we all know that the water cooler is exactly that. It is a water cooler. It's a topic that's off limits on the show. WC equals Ghostbuster side.
Absolutely.
Who's going to call? Harry Hitler, Jeff Dahmer, good guy, Tom. Now, 59 minutes past the hour.
I say here you charge $300 per photo.
Wow.
That's incredible. $300? Boy, that's a pretty steep, don't you think, Adrian?
Well, after this show today, it'll go up more.
Mm. You think so?
I think so.
Listen, I'm familiar with this thing, the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
I don't go on it because I think that people are watching me through the computer and I don't want them to know my social security number.
You're right about that. That's how they can get all your personal information. All you have to do is log on once.
But I understand you have a website. I'm not advocating that our listeners go there. Let me mention, still 5:49 on the East Coast. It's 2:49 on the West Coast. Hi, everybody, and happy Tuesday. I'm Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer, and I'd like to just back up what my partner's saying here. Don't go on that pesky Internet. They'll get every piece of information that you own, and they can make your life a living nightmare. And I really think that's it. But you do have a website, don't you, Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes, I do.
Hey, sir, can I ask you something?
Sure.
Do you like the show?
According to
the show. Do you like the show? No, not our show. I'm assuming you like our show.
Yeah, and we're going to have to ask you to wait.
Our show.
We're just going to have to ask you to wait to answer the questions until they've been asked.
Do you like According to Jim, the Jim Belushi show? That's our favorite.
Jim Belushi show?
It's a program on the American Broadcasting Company, and it's called According to Jim.
I work 14 hours a day.
50 minutes past the hour now. I'm Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer. We're speaking with Adrian Rodriguez.
I think what's amazing at this point of the interview is not the fact that this man makes toilet art, but the fact that he does not know about the fantastic laugh riot that is According to Jim.
According to Jim, one of the best shows on television. You say you work long hours. Can't you do your toilet art and watch television at the same time?
Well, according to Jim, is on primetime, isn't it, 8 o'clock?
Yes, no, no. They're about,
right.
Yeah.
You're darn right.
Yes, it is. Yeah, you're working that?
That's tragic what happened to his brother, incidentally. I always thought his brother was so good, but why did he have to work so blue?
I'll never understand that as long as I live. And he just seemed to want to work filthy all the time, and there's no place in that.
And he was smoking and drinking and snorting and doing the things that he shouldn't be doing.
Just a bad man all the way around, but a funny lad.
At times.
I sure love the Killer Bees sketches.
They were good.
I found part of that offensive.
Did you?
Have you ever thought about a bee? Have you ever thought about what's like?
Oh, yeah, you're all hung up with the whole pollination thing.
I'm not all hung up. I'm an advocate of human life.
I understand you are. That's why when I was over at the Hitler's the other night, we were having a good one of those philosophical discussions, and I was very enlightened by it, and me and Mrs. Dahmer went home feeling very spiritually fulfilled.
The movie of the Passion of the Christ. Tonight, Reverend Charles Broyhill takes your calls on that topic.
Amen.
Tonight on the Westwood One Network. It's now 52 past the hour. Listen, we're about out of time. Can we ask, A-Rod, what is your website?
My website is www.arodphoto.com.
I just want to say it's a good day for the race.
Yes, it is.
The human race.
Always, every day on the Harry Show.
Hitler Show, yeah. Jeff Dahmer.
Jeff Dahmer. Sorry, good God. The name change. That's so good to be with Adrian Rodriguez. What a great time I had.
Well, thank you, Harry and Jeff. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Hold on just a second, my friend. As we go to break, hey, Buzz, let's go to a sponsor break right now.
You've been listening to the Harry and Jeff Show, brought to you by the law firm of Ephraim & Associates. Stay cool with the E&A legal team. Join Harry and Jeff next time here on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Until next time, I will say, the clock on the wall says our time's about up. Try and drive us to after the hour. Until next time, gosh, from the heart of my bottom, this is Harry Hitler speaking for Jeff Dahmer and everybody. Oh, the Harry and Jeff get together. So long. Until next time, I hope that your times are good times. And all good times lead to times down the road. Times bowed out. We got... Oh, is he still there? Hold on a second, my friend. Hold on a second. Our time is... Okay, see what he thought.
Adrian, thanks for joining. How did you think it went? You like it? Okay, we're going to sell a lot of pictures for you. And we'd like to book you again in the future. All right, bless you. Bye-bye, Ben.
He didn't want to stay on much longer, did he, Rob? He was done. He got it. He knew he was getting
worked a little bit. He was on his lunch break at Kinko's. So. You think I'm kidding? He said it was wacky and enjoyable.
And here's the deal. Even if they get it, even if they know we're doing a little something, a little hinky there, they still want to get their product mentioned
sure,
up.
Sure, of course. And the gallic horses for that never to happen.
What was great is how many times he restarted his story. Every time he said, well, I was at a sale.
Tell us about it. That'd be three after the hour.
You're right. The name change is the only thing.
That's tricky.
That's tricky because... sorry. It's easier to say, Mrs. Oxbig.
Right, right.
Made me some nice pie rather than to say Mrs. Hitler made me.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little different. It takes some getting used to.
We're fine.
Yeah. We're going to be fine.
Yeah. We're fine. I'm like...
Fine time.
Oh, it's buzz time.
Yeah. Here we go.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
I get jokes.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Here's Buzz.
That's me. He made it up.
All right, Buzz. Oh, you know, we're still not giving away that trip to Iceland. Mm-hmm. We'll do that today on the show. Also, what have I written here? Oh yes. Tomorrow I want to talk about. I want to have Rascal Races on the show.
Rascal Races.
You know, for old people. And those things that old people drive, they go like 8 miles an hour.
Does that mean we can't do them? Can we do it ourselves?
No, old people to do it.
All right, so
come on. Come on, have some fun.
Well, we'll be able to ride them a little bit, right?
Sure, we will.
Of course,
we will.
Okay,
come on, Jeff.
Okay, Harry.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna. Mike,
what's your lead story today on the news in the comments?
Today, Michael Jackson may have to sell his songs to pay the piper.
Well, I hope that guy is listening. That guy that called during the phone scam and wondered how, you know, hi,
right there, listener.
It is right there.
Hi.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
The news is coming.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, that was very
professional.
Harry Edler, Jeff D'Albro.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Broadcasting from the zone of uncertainty.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Wow.
Buzz's news show. Now brought to you by Veramax. Sexual pleasure performance enhancer. Doctor developed.
Someone call for a doctor.
Clinically tested. Veramax works. Been at a Rite Aid GNC. Other select retailers try today. Veramax 1-888 try. Now let's do it. Call 100. You like to chime? You don't like to chime.
I do like to chime.
For you. Call 100 right now. 877-365-3636.
It's that thing you used to play. What did you used to play? You used to have another... No, there was another thing you used to play.
Hold on a second. What do you mean?
Someone called for a doctor?
That one?
Yeah, that one.
That's for a phone scan.
No, but there's something else. It was talk about sounds, and you had a sound that was annoying, and you used to play it an awful lot.
You got to define it.
I don't remember. I'd have to hear it.
No.
You, sir, are an idiot.
No.
A click.
No, it was a sound.
No.
Kind of recent, a couple of months ago, maybe.
Yeah. No.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I mean, I do, but I don't. I'm with you.
Was it that? That's
no, it wasn't that. No, it was something else that you...
And he played it every minute.
Yeah.
What was it?
It was that sound, but you used to hate it when it was an emergency shout-out.
Yeah.
Oh.
So what I've done is I've actually become accustomed to it.
Yes.
Touchstone. And but I felt differently about the bing now. That I like.
That you like.
That's
really did like.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
The alarm. Okay.
Good.
Here you go. Call 100. Hold on there, Buzz.
All right.
Let's give away a trip to Iceland.
Yeah.
I got a good question. What, Mike? Wait, rub your face.
I'm rubbing my face like Brian Keith.
Why?
Because I'm just trying to make my way.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I know the sound.
You know what sound?
I know the sound that you needed to play.
No, that was a question that Mike had. I have a separate question for you.
We've moved on.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Bacardi Limon because you can't overplay that.
No, love Bacardi Limon.
We all love that one.
Well, give Tony some props and start playing it.
I played it already. Hey, you just lost the contest.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you tried to be an amateur producer.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Everybody knows. I snuck that in today.
Bacardi Limon.
I snuck it in today.
Earlier in the show, you played it at a very good time.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hey, listen, you're the 100th caller.
Yes.
You're going to win. Have you been listening to the whole show today?
Most of it. I hope I can answer correctly.
All right. Well, good luck to you. How long have you been listening?
since about 3:30. I'm actually a cab driver in Baltimore.
All right, you should get this. Would you like to go to the Inner Harbor?
What TV show? What TV show did Mike's girlfriend make him watch last night?
God, and you ring the bell on him too. Shoot. No, there's no cussing anymore.
Right. Well, you couldn't say that anyway before.
Well, that's true. It was...
Come on.
The one post.
You're killing me.
I know, Don. I'm sorry.
We're not supposed to put butter on the milk duds.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, what TV show did Mike's girlfriend make him watch last night?
According to Jim.
Oh, wow. No, excuse me. I have to say, if I had made a big deal about it, I probably could have watched whatever I wanted. I chose
say
to.
That now. Let me know.
I got the impression that she wanted to watch
hello.
That show.
Don and Mike, hello.
All right.
Hello, are you there?
Bobo.
I said bravo to you, sir.
No, he said Bobo.
Oh, Bobo. Hello, I thought you said bravo.
Bobo, Don.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hey, what TV show did Mike's girlfriend make him watch last night?
My big, fat, obnoxious fiance.
You know, they just win this contest.
Everybody's just guessing. Did anybody listen to the show? I busted Mike's balls for about 10 minutes about this today.
I did, Don.
Excuse me, I busted Mike's chops about this. Hello.
Better go, Bobo.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
What is the TV show?
It was, Millionaire with Regis.
Yeah.
I'm
sitting here doing the Regis impression. People are going,
right,
my big
Bobo?
Fat obnoxious.
It should be Super Millionaire.
Shut up, Rob.
You're a winner.
What's your name?
My name's Tom.
Tom, where are you?
Winner. Where are you from?
I'm in Woodland.
Beautiful. Where is that?
Just west of Sacramento, your favorite town.
You have won a trip for two to Iceland on Iceland Air. Iceland Air, the coolest airline. Hey, that dance is out, boy. Well, you can still do the dance.
Yeah, can't we still do the dance?
I just can't talk about
sure.
it.
Sure.
Iceland Air, the coolest airline crossing the Atlantic with daily flights to continental Europe, Scandinavia, the UK, and Iceland. Enjoy yourself. We had a great time in Iceland. Mike and Rob are doing something right now.
What's a dance?
We're doing the dance. You can still say the Sacramento dance.
They're doing something that I find patently offensive.
Yeah, me too.
I find that not arguably indecent. I find that
indeed patently offensive.
Patently offensive.
Is it Peyton or Patton?
Well,
he
said
it. Come on.
He said it both ways.
He did say it both ways.
He said it both ways in the meeting.
And in a way, isn't that telling?
Hey, listen, thank you. Hold on a second. Enjoy your trip.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Just thinking, the song, too, the guy that was singing about I Love Don, I Love Mike.
Yeah.
The tune that he was singing, too, was Let's Go Fly a Kite from Mary Poppins.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's the Sacramento caller. Always
that's
get your
right.
little get your little something extra,
come
sir.
On.
The dark cloud.
Come
man.
On, Mike. We don't have many friends left now. We got the affiliates that we have and the people that listen to this show.
Right.
Listen, and you know what? You can't do that dance now in front of me.
I know.
Because you know me.
I know. You'll talk about it.
I'm going to want to comment on it.
I know.
And then the next thing you know, we're going to be back down on K Street.
That's right.
In front of all,
no, that's not for years.
In front of all the lawyers.
Right.
All right, thank you. Hold on a second.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you for listening. Now here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. The latest word has Michael Jackson ready to sell his music to help him out of debt.
I want
to
dance.
Why doesn't he just sell the Beatles songs back to Paul McCartney?
I thought he already had. It's very confusing. I don't know if he still has them or not. He had
do
them
you?
For a while.
Do,
no, but
do,
the ones that he sold back to Paul McCartney were all in Aramaic.
Mike, that's Americ.
Mike Americ. Americ. A well-placed music industry source tells the Associated Press Michael's entire songbook featuring all his solo hits is being shopped around quietly. Michael's manager is sticking to the story that the songs are not for sale. The package was thought to be worth anywhere from $75 to $140 million. But the question is, will anyone buy it? And are Michael's songs getting played as much as they used to be?
You know, Buzz, I can answer that question for you.
All right.
And I've heard...
I can sell them if I try.
I've heard a lot of radio the last couple of weeks, especially driving around when we were almost fired.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of stations that still play Michael Jackson records and don't say anything about it.
Right.
Hey, do you have PYT, Rob?
No, I do. It's in the office. I'll go get it.
We were going to, before the new edict came down... We were talking about in the office one day about dissecting the song PYT.
Lyric by lyric.
And actually figure out, you know, maybe with the Michael Jackson that we thought we knew back then and the one that we really know now.
It would be disturbing to hear the lyrics to that song.
I would think
so.
PYT.
Don?
Pretty young thing. Yes, Michael.
Did you hear about Bubba the Love Sponge?
Bye.
I heard that Todd Clem got fired because he did a dirty radio show. That's why we've cleaned up our show.
Mm-hmm. Bye, Todd Clem.
Yeah. More about him in a minute.
I thought his name was Clem Todd.
Well, the question is, will anybody buy the music package? That's the main question. The New York Times says Jacko had no ready cash, and this answers a question we were asking on the air.
She said, what about the $70 million that he owed that bank in New York?
The New York Times says that when the day came, Jacko had no ready cash to pay off the $70 million Bank of America loan that was supposedly due a week ago today.
I could have just used the credit card machine that was on the desk at the lawyer's office.
Just didn't have it on him.
Mm-hmm.
The effects of the Janet Jackson controversy also have not gone away.
That is patently funny.
That's a slogan.
Or maybe it's patently funny.
Thank you.
He said it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Janet Jackson has just lost an acting gig for ABC's upcoming TV movie about singer Lena Horne. Ms. Horne, who's still with us, and her daughter say they were so horrified by the Janet and Justin stunt at the Super Bowl, they want nothing to do with Michael's sister.
Oh, come on. Will everybody please stop overreacting about a breast?
Really? It's ridiculous.
The producers of that TV movie have also left the set to show their support for Janet. And all of this after the publicity photos featuring Janet as Lena Horne had already been shipped out to Vanity Fair magazine. Janet, by the way, will be chatting about the controversy soon with Diane Sawyer, according to today's New York Post.
And listen, don't cry any big baloney tears for Janet Jackson. Know this, that her record that's out right now, I think it's a good record.
Right.
But if she had not exposed herself during the Super Bowl,
right,
like 50% of the stations are playing it wouldn't be playing it.
Yeah, and that does speak once again to the fact that people are just making such a big deal about it. And that's why she's going on Diane Sawyer to boost the sales of that CD.
Mm-hmm. Although we've got the Michael Jackson. Hold on. What was that? Was it you actually putting the needle down on the record?
Yeah, that is a rare sound anymore, isn't it?
Right.
Wait.
You put that on the CD?
Yeah, we have no record players here. I got a recorder to a CD.
Do you just put
that
on the CD now?
No, at my house I did it.
But he put the sound of him putting the needle down on the CD.
I thought you'd enjoy it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Fun, no?
It was all by design.
Russia.
Yes, that's it.
And hold on, what's he saying? Well, I got to start it over again.
Yeah.
Just a second. What is Michael Jackson saying?
Right, here's Rob's joke.
Okay,
starting the record.
You made me feel so good.
Wanted a girl just like you.
See that? There's the bar where
we're safe.
Okay.
Analysis over.
Now, if this had been last week, we would have done a hell of a lot more of analysis.
But I think we cleared it up. I think we really, you know, that's it. I always wanted to get you. Maybe the emphasis was, I wish I had a girl like you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to have to listen to it again now, Buzz.
Maybe that's what he meant.
No, I'm sure we got it, right?
He's talking about
like the Bible, Buzz. It's subject to interpretation.
It's talking about a chick.
Thrillers like the Bible.
Why did Michael Jackson kill Jesus?
I have no idea, but you're going to have to take that up with the... Yeah, it's going to be a trial.
Baby feels so good.
I've always wanted a girl just like you.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No, no. Okay. Those you were wrong. It's not that he's wanted a girl.
Yeah.
I always wanted a girl. That's funny. So funny, isn't it, Don? What a girl. What a comedian I am.
That was funny, Michael.
Thank you, Rob. I love to play the part where you put the needle on the record.
No, I was just trying to be funny like you.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Michael. The network is nervous. CBS has ordered the producers of an upcoming TV movie about killer Charles Manson to cut out the blood and guts.
Ooh, listen. Be very scared. Les Moonves. Ooh, be scared.
Now, they're taking away our sex. Does that mean they're going to take away our violence, too? Yep. An interesting quote from the producer of the movie. I know there's concern about violence, but we feel it's not gratuitous. It's important to show the victims how they suffered. The producer says that in the time since CBS ordered the movie, quote, things have changed a lot. They've been beaten up pretty badly. He's talking about Janet and last year's Reagan movie. CBS has no comment on this.
Listen, less blood, less Moonves, whatever the deal is. Seriously, and we've tried not to harp and sermonize on this.
Yeah, but it's in the news.
Because we want you guys just to dig the show.
Right.
But really, it's not only what's happening to us, because as I've already explained, we simply are talented enough to do a show without the dirty stuff.
Yeah.
However, for our entire society,
do we really want this big brother? Do we really want somebody telling us what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable?
I think it'd be very accurate to say this is a climate of fear.
Yep.
The fear right now is on the people that are producing the programming. The fear right now is the people that are making the shows, doing the shows,
yep.
the producers, the talent, everybody. That it doesn't take much of a step to get from that into your living room.
This is a witch hunt, folks. I'm not kidding you in the least.
I agree.
This is a witch hunt. You've got these congressmen, and you've got everybody that's got anything to say, saying this is bad, this is bad. Oh, what about the music? Well, it's not the music. It's got to be the shock disc jockeys. Well, it's not the shock disc jockeys. It's the video games. No, it's not the video games. It's MTV. No, it's not. It's Janet Jackson.
Yeah, there's oh good. There's somebody evil that we can pick on.
Get Janet Jackson now. Get it. Now, all this stuff on the radio, I want it all gone now. I want all violence gone. I want everything to be happy on television, everything to be happy on radio. I want everybody to be happy. And if you're not happy, we're going to drag you just like we dragged Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Climate. Well said.
Seriously.
And
seriously.
And we're in the middle
of
the...
If you don't think that me and Mike are being crucified right now and that Congress has got the mail concession, you don't know what's going on. And we are at the lowest level of this indecency morality food chain.
Don't you agree? They start with guys like us. They work their way into TV. It gets into movies. And then once they're done with all the people that are making the program,
and
then it's going to be like, well, what do you watch?
And the headline that I saw today that scared me the most said, FCC and Congress thinking about starting to legislate cable and satellite.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I read that today.
Yeah.
They're now thinking...
Yeah.
You know, we've had so much... Well, Robbie, you put that music away. Where'd you go, boy?
Oh, you want that?
Yeah, I need that again, please. Thank you, because now they're thinking... Hold on, we got all these DJs fired. We got a bunch of DJs getting their shows changed. We're going to change network TV. Hey, have you seen the stuff that they do on HBO?
Yeah.
I got an idea. Let's make some rules. Let's make some rules. And what about satellite? Well, we should have a say in that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But y'all get it.
Yeah, there's definitely a pattern emerging.
That stinks.
CBS's parent company Viacom also owns UPN, and it's canceling its Amish reality show. Congress is also beating up on UPN.
Oh, come on, hold on. That's just funny.
It is.
That's not indecent. That's funny.
The lawmakers are not only beating up on CBS, but its sister network UPN for a show that hasn't even aired. It's a real world type show with Amish teenagers plunked in the heart of a big city.
Funny idea.
Lawmakers are up in arms about religious persecution and the sideshow aspect. That's because they don't know about the Amish period of Rumspringa, the Pennsylvania Dutch term for running around. When they're 16, Amish kids are allowed to experience the outside world before deciding if they want to join the church. Sister network CBS felt heat from Congress last year over a reality version of the Beverly Hillbillies.
So
which would have also been a very funny show.
Right. So you're telling me now that this entire climate means that you can't even propose to put on a show where you're going to follow Amish people around.
That's right.
And the reason for this is...
They say, the Congress people say it's a religious persecution, and it just turns these people into a sideshow.
Listen, hey, everybody out there listening right now to us talk about this on the radio, don't you guys dig this?
Yeah.
That eventually it's going to come to you?
Yeah, it will.
That eventually, right now, you think everything's okay? But I'm telling you, it's going the wrong way in this country, and nobody's standing up to say, hey, nobody's got the stones,
the intestinal fortitude,
to stand up and say, I like stuff that other people might find objectionable. That's part of what being an American is all about.
Right. Can I give you a conspiracy theory, really,
sure,
that I don't talk about very often? I really don't. I don't share this with a lot
of people. Does it involve
Jesus? It doesn't involve anything to do with Jesus. I think all of this is, you're talking about the watering down of all this stuff and eliminating some of these ideas. I think it's all designed to keep the ratings high for According to Jim.
It's working. Do you know, seriously, and I won't dwell on this, I promise, I won't, but they can get away with more on According to Jim than we can get away with.
Now,
that's cool with us. I mean, that's the way the rules have been set up right now.
Whatever.
We're okay with that. I mean, we're not okay, but we have to be okay with it.
Right. I think we have to be very, very careful, and I just urge everybody to keep their eyes open.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's I worry about this climate that we're in right now.
Yeah.
Well, there's more. The Oscar people were listening when they heard people say that some of the ads in the Super Bowl were more offensive than the halftime show. And since the Oscars are also known in the TV biz as the Super Bowl for women, they have no shortage of advertisers. They say the ads will only be family-friendly this year and that there'll be no pharmaceuticals. For 20 years, the Oscars have banned ads for feminine hygiene products, ads that feature a presenter or a nominee, or movie ads to avoid making the Oscars look fixed.
That was for feminine hygiene.
And as always, no mixed messages, only one car company, for example. But this year, they're also watching for content in the commercials and also watching to make sure that advertisers, get this, don't try to slip in a family-unfriendly ad at the last minute.
And you know, if you just stop and think about it for a second...
Mm-hmm.
It's a program on television
right.
that is spotlighting achievement in motion pictures.
Mm-hmm. Motion pictures that have, you know, sex, violence.
There you go.
Right. Well, more than, I mean, I went to see Cold Mountain last night. There was every bit of that in there. And this is an Oscar-nominated
show. This is a TV show. This is an award show that we're broadcasting on TV to spotlight mm-hmm. our most creative people who, because we live in a country where we have free speech, mm-hmm. can make a movie about anything
right.
in any circumstance. The only deal in America is... If it stinks, you're held accountable because nobody will listen or nobody will watch.
Right.
So we are celebrating the fact that we have a show where we're going to say, look at the variety of motion pictures we have, and we have the greatest, most talented filmmakers in the world, and they can say anything they want, and we're celebrating that, but we want to make sure that while we're celebrating that freedom, the people that are sponsoring this show
mm-hmm.
bring you all G-rated commercials.
Right.
Strange,
well
strange,
said.
Strange.
I mean, does that not strike anybody? Hello!
I hope it does.
That's so dumb!
Yeah, and then there's the trickle-down that you alluded to. Florida shock jock Bubba the Love Sponge has been fired. That, by the way, is his legal name now. It happened less than 30 days after his station was hit with the highest fine ever for a so-called indecent broadcast. The station is owned by Clear Channel, the main competitor of Infinity, which owns this show. Infinity's also taken action against some of its own people recently, bowing to a government crackdown that intensified with the Janet Jackson incident.
Yeah, and listen, to anybody out there thinking that Mike and I are making too much about our involvement in this, mm-hmm. I urge you, it's a matter of public record. You go to C-SPAN, or it takes a couple of weeks for these transcripts from Congress to get out in the public.
Yeah, read them.
But look at the transcript where Mel Karmazin is up on the stage.
Being grilled.
And he's having his chops busted.
Mm-hmm.
And just wait till they get to the part where they bring up the fact that a word got through on our show.
Mm-hmm.
And where Mel has to say mm-hmm. in front of Congress, we had a guy, and he's talking about me,
mm-hmm.
yeah, we had a guy who had a bad day.
Right.
Had a guy who had no history of this.
Right.
But we've taken care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think that we are weaving ourselves into the story somehow...
We are this story, yeah.
Go back and look at C-SPAN, and you tell me, if you're sitting at home watching your TV and your boss has called you and said, oh yeah, you might be fired, and then your other boss is in front of Congress, and they're talking about your show,
mm-hmm.
while they're supposed to be talking about Janet Jackson.
Right.
And then you tell me you're not uptight. It stinks.
Mm-hmm.
It stinks. We are being over. I don't know what the word is that I'm looking for.
Oversensitive?
Yeah.
Over-scrutinized?
No, I want to say something. We are...
Overboard?
It's over something.
Over-eager?
It's over something.
It's too much.
It's over... It's over-easy. That's the guy... Eggs I like over-easy.
Hey, over-easy. Headline news.
Yeah, I got to get back to the news here. I mean, we all got to get back to the news. Because I could really go... All day on this.
That's a
all
good topic.
Day.
It's very scary. It's
all
not
day.
Scary just for us. It's scary
yep.
for everybody
for
right
everybody.
Now.
Man,
and it happened. It seemed to me it happened.
Overnight.
In a blink of an eye.
That's right.
And the next thing you know, I mean, really, me and Mike are going to be gone. We'll be okay. Our families will be okay. Buzz will be okay. Rob will be okay. But 10 years from now, what's going to happen?
Yeah. Exactly. Good luck.
I mean, really.
Growing up, Bubba the Love Sponge, who was named Todd as a boy.
Todd Klembuzz.
Wanted to be a dentist. Now his chance.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's his chance.
And this guy, some of the stuff that the FCC has sided with him as like cartoon characters having sex.
Right.
Which is, you know, in my book, okay. And some of it, again, it's you got to give us a line. You got to tell us as a radio industry, as television industry, music, what's acceptable and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you make that decision, then I'll decide if I'm going to move to Canada or not.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So just make that decision, but... Jeez, I heard, and the thing that's weird about this, I'm going to go on about this just for a second more, indulge me. When we were suspended without pay,
right,
taken off the air for those 2 weeks, you know I went down to Florida, I told you that. When I was driving back from Daytona, I listened to this guy's show.
Mm-hmm.
on the Tampa radio.
Bubba the Love Sponge.
And I heard some stuff that was incestuous, but it was like anything that any other disc jockey, shark jock, would do.
Right.
And then the rest of the time, I heard this guy railing on about how we got to get Bush out of office, and you got a Bush, you got a Boo Bush at the Daytona 500, and Clear Channel stands behind him all the way, and here it is a week later.
There we are. Yeah.
And coincidentally, Thursday, somebody from Clear Channel has to go in front of Congress,
right?
Just like Mel had to go in front of Congress.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're the easiest ones. We're the easiest ones to be the example. This was just the beginning.
So now Clear Channel can go to Congress and say, oh, my God, you're right. It's a mess out there. But look what we did.
Mm-hmm.
We fired Todd Klemm, the worst offender.
Right.
The guy who said George Jetson was...
No.
Well, I mean, just, I deleted it out.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Talk about
the guy said.
Characters.
The guy said that there were relations...
Right.
Between George Jetson and Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Right.
And for that.
Right. Yeah, but, you know, and it's just the climate that they're, you know.
Yeah.
They're in the same boat. We all are, you know.
Right.
And while politicians are pretending to be outraged by what they see and hear, America's downloading the Paris Hilton video like there's no tomorrow.
Absolutely, Buzz.
The latest on that is Paris Hilton actually directed that video, according to courthouse documents.
Author!
And wait
a minute, the one that the guy supposedly was releasing?
Right.
She directed it, so she's getting a cut?
Yeah, in a sense. Here's the explanation of that. These documents were filed by the Hilton family lawyers, who were trying to get a judge to throw out a lawsuit from Paris's co-star Rick Solomon. Solomon's making millions off the video, saying he has the rights to it. Now the Hilton family is saying that Paris also holds those rights. They say she became a director when she adjusted the camera lens during filming.
Now I'm going to go back and watch that. All this does, Buzz, is give me a reason to go back again.
Oh, I've seen some clips from the new full-length color version.
You know, the thing is, if she's in it,
yeah,
she's got to get some of the... I mean, if she either has... First of all, I don't understand how, without her giving permission...
Uh-huh.
How he can release the thing.
So
she's
his
the director.
Camera, his tape, he's in it.
Mike, they're all artists.
I think you can make a legal argument about that.
Of course.
The thing, but also, if she wants the money, she's also entitled to some money.
Right.
But it's funny because it forces the Hilton family to admit, hey, not only was she in it, she helped direct it. It's her baby.
Maybe she'll get a back-end deal. You know, that happens a lot of time. You make money on the back-end.
Sure.
After the movie has...
Now you're being cruel to me, all right? You throw me a softball like that. Okay.
To the profit.
You know, really.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much I could do
the
with
the back-end deal.
In the old days, there's so much I could do with that.
Yeah, I know. We got to stop right there. Buzz, what's next?
President Bush swings into action on gay marriage.
Yeah, here's another piece of great news about the country we live in.
Yes, the freedom of the American society.
Here's another great news.
Yeah.
Try not to kill yourselves during the next 9 minutes and 30 seconds. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
Profoundly normal. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Well, as I say now, every time we get back on the air, whew, that was safe.
Yeah.
That was good and safe.
How about that, huh?
Super. I'm Harry Hamlin,
and I'm Jeff Dahmer.
Here's Buzz.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi,
Don and Mike. Well, as he said he would, President Bush is now pushing for a constitutional amendment that would outlaw gay marriage. Gay rights groups say they're appalled a president would endorse discrimination. Other critics say Bush is trying to divert attention away from his failures and to pander to right-wing Republicans prior to the election.
Yeah, this whole thing, this whole thing to me seems like part of the whole thing we were just talking about.
Yep.
That, like, now you get rid of all the radio shows that anybody might have a problem with, you get rid of all the TV shows people might have a problem with, you get rid of the music people might have a problem with, and oh yeah, hey, what about those fags?
Yeah, let's do that too. Is this all what we're going to have to come to accept as election year politics?
Apparently so.
Well, I think it stinks.
Yeah.
Well, now that the words...
I'm telling you, that's why I'm voting Nader. I'm voting Nader because the choice is either to vote Nader or not to vote at all. Because I don't trust Kerry, just like I don't trust Bush now. I think if you got Nader in there, at least you know what you're getting. And of course, he's not going to win.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll
go out sometime before November. And have a really long like.
Oh no! Please, please, no! Don't try to lecture.
Just we'll have a few of those flights.
Just tell me who you want me to vote for.
Kerry.
But why?
If he's the nominee, whoever the nominee.
But why?
So he gets elected, so we get some change in there. Most likely to beat the other guy, I think.
I think
that I'm worried.
But the last time
I'm worried. I don't like where the other guy's doing.
Both sides were climbing on
you're
this
right.
indecency thing.
I agree with you. I can't argue with that.
So I'm saying, why vote Republican or Democrat?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go Nader.
The last time I chose someone named Kerry, it turned out to be a huge mistake.
Now stop it. Behave yourself.
He's kidding, of course.
He's kidding. Kerry, he doesn't mean that.
He's not listening.
Well, now that's why he said it.
Exactly. Now that the words have finally sifted through Andy Rooney's eyebrows, we have reaction to this week's feature.
Too many.
Sunday, the curmudgeonly commentator offered up as to how both Mel Gibson and Pat Robertson are, quote, wackos.
Now listen, Buzz.
Yeah.
I promise I won't interrupt. Let me just say,
please.
I know what you're going to say here. I've heard the story. I don't disagree with the first part.
Right.
The second part, I think I do. So let's go. First, let's deal with.
What are you talking about the Pat Robertson part you agree with?
And
the Mel Gibson you're not
I don't agree with.
All right.
Right.
Well, Andy Rooney says he knows this because God told him so.
Oh,
CBS says this is the most response it's gotten to an Andy Rooney piece since he turned against the war in Iraq last spring.
He's controversial, that Andy Rooney. Don't give him a radio show.
I'll tell you what I think about Andy Rooney because I've watched a lot of the 60 Minutes.
Right.
He is getting to that wonderful stage
yes.
that an old man gets to.
Doesn't care
he
anymore.
He could care less.
That's
and
right.
I would tell you, really,
yeah.
as long as he can, like, work his bony little old man fingers on his 1930s typewriter, he's going down a road where he's just saying whatever he wrote, and they're kind of letting him do it.
Yeah.
Now, is Don Hewitt still the producer? He's out now.
He's on his way out. They have a new guy who's taking over.
I think you might really be interested to watch 60 Minutes
because yeah.
they're all kind of saying. Whatever, and,
right.
and they're not caring. You know, they're going to be in the ground soon.
If they're yeah. all going to be in the ground together,
right?
So Pat Robertson says that God, if I understand the story, God tells him that Bush is going to win the election.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that was a story we had a month or two ago. Right.
right. Mm-hmm. So God tells Robertson that Bush is going to win the election.
Right.
And Andy Rooney
says jokingly that God told him that Mel Gibson and Pat Robertson are wackos.
Now, I'm okay. I'm okay with that part.
Right.
The part that I'm not cool with is where, and we discussed this when we were having a discussion about Jesus in this movie before.
Right.
Andy Rooney, I saw the thing on 60 Minutes, is pissed that. Excuse me, is upset
yeah.
that Mel Gibson is making money off this movie.
Ah, okay.
That was the gist of what I got
mm-hmm.
when I watched mm-hmm. the end of 60 Minutes on Sunday. Anyway, he said, and Mel Gibson making money off the crucifixion of Christ, you know. Shame on you.
Yeah, but see, Mel Gibson hasn't decided what he's going to do with his money, and I think, you know.
And besides, like I said before, who cares if he keeps the money?
Well, you're telling a story.
You're telling a story.
Yeah. I mean, that's what a movie is. You're telling a story.
Well, no comment yet from Gibson, but the always available for comment, Pat Robertson, said he liked being compared to the genius of Mel Gibson.
You know, those guys that made the Ten Commandments a million years ago,
yeah.
you know, all those other epics.
Where's your Messiah now?
yeah.
See? Edward G. Robinson. They made money, huh?
DeMille made that same movie twice, and don't forget who made Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur?
That's virtually the same story.
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
See? Where's your Messiah now, see?
And please don't forget Spartacus. Please.
Oh!
Oh, yeah.
Spartacus is an entirely different topic for an entirely different discussion.
You are telling me.
That movie is stimulating. Historic.
We're going to be playing it at the wedding reception.
Highly erotic.
One out of...
Keep something good, my precious love. keep the secret of Spartacus. Oh, Spartacus, keep the secret.
And it's still fun to say Spartacus with a lip.
Spartacus, will you marry me before George Bush? Just loud, please, yes.
One out of every three Americans does not want executions to be televised, but nearly one out of every four of us say we'd pay extra to see them.
Must be whack.
Now, there's your closet group there. There's your group that won't come out and admit it to anybody. I mean, this gentleman here will.
Yeah,
I will.
But, because I work with him, I will, too. I'll admit I want to see it, too.
Hold on.
Michael Mara.
Yeah.
We're all for executions on TV.
The yeah. question is, who should go first? A Harris survey of 1,000 people last month put Osama bin Laden at the top of the list. He got 21%. Saddam Hussein was second with 18%.
Hi, this is Wendell Hall. In all this excitement, I sort of forgot myself.
Oh, God.
This is a Smith & Wesson 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world.
So what you've got to be asking yourself is, do you feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Chief Engineer.
Good luck.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, not chief engineer, assistant chief engineer.
That's right.
In my mind, Wendell, yeah. You are the chief engineer. Don't tell that to Tony, though.
Bacardi Limon.
Lots of love for you, too, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those engineers are under a lot of pressure right now, too.
Yeah, they
We're
are.
We're all feeling a lot of pressure.
That's right. All about the same thing.
After all, don't forget, everybody's responsible.
Yeah!
Everybody's responsible.
Yeah!
And the memo around here, I'm not getting, yeah. Written by Johnny
yeah!
Gaffin.
Right. Yeah.
The new memo.
Right.
If in doubt, leave it out.
Right. Wow.
I mean, that's the internal directive that we're getting from the company on doing our radio show.
And we say thank you.
If in doubt, leave it out. Yeah.
Hey. Well, not every day on the Martha Stewart trial has been a good thing, but her day had to have gotten a little brighter yesterday when Bill Cosby arrived at the courthouse to show his support.
I just want to say that I like the way she does the hazelnuts. I love the way she does the raggots and rolls and reason has in Martha Stewart. The Cosby sweater. Yes, Reed is coming in the cars as well behind you because everything's going to be good for the Martha Stewart.
That's back to High Fidelity.
It's a Cosby sweater. Thank you, Martha. Stewart, I'm afraid you're going to jail. Cosby,
gonna
have some
burger. Cosby carried with him boxes of Jell-O brand chocolate pudding.
Here's some chocolate pudding for the jurors.
All he would say to reporters, no matter what they asked him, was, "I'm here for a friend."
I'm here for a friend. Cosby, sweater. Now that bad cigar breath.
No. In sports. The owner of the NBA's Dallas Mavericks will host a reality TV show this summer on The Benefactor. Mark Cuban will give away $1 million of his own money. Cuban was fined $500,000 for saying he wouldn't hire the NBA's head official to run a Dairy Queen. Mm-hmm. And finally, Bob Johnson of Billings, Montana, says there's a reason he got charged with drunken driving.
Bobo!
Bob and his fiancée.
Bobo, hey, Bobo.
Bobo and his fiancée.
I'll drink to that.
They were stopped on one night last June along I-90. Bob says the officer probably felt she had to charge him with something, but was too embarrassed about the real reason. Bob says he and his fiancée got caught with their pants down, getting to know one another while Bob was driving. Bob says he failed the field sobriety test.
Hold on, Buzz. I get it. Yes. You're talking about sex.
It was an implication.
Oh, I got
you
it.
You draw your own conclusion.
Okay.
Bobo!
I think I follow this.
Bob says he failed the field sobriety test because he was, nervous about getting caught and because he, too, was embarrassed. A jury thought about it for nearly 15 minutes before finding Bob not guilty of drunken driving.
Way to go, Bobo!
15 minutes.
Right.
Go back across the country with your man, Chris Farley, your mother-in-law. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. That's it, Mike.
Another day behind us.
We made it through another one. We'll be back to do the same tomorrow. We'll see you then. Another trip to Iceland tomorrow. Joe's Movies tomorrow.
Yay.
We'll see you then. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. So long, Bobo. And rather than the way we used to end the show, telling you all to eat something, we can't do that anymore. I'll just now say, yours in Christ.
Amen.
Oh, no.
No, that's not going to work.
We can't end with yours in Christ.
No,
I like
that.
It. Hold it, but you're outside.
Yeah, we have to come back in.
All right.
We come back in.
How about very truly yours? How about that's the new sign off for the show? Until next time, very truly yours?
No. Best always.
How about just best?
All right.
All my best.
No, best comma.
Best comma.
Just best. Okay.
Best always.
All my very best? All our very best? Our very best to
our
you?
Our very best.
Our very best.
And then I'll say so long.
Okay. So.
Or I can say, I know you like to say the last
one. No. You can have the last one. I'll just say. Okay. Our very best.
So long.
Okay, so we ready?
Here we go.
Here we go. Good day
to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you,
sir. So long, Bobo. Oh, I said so long twice.
Our very best.
So long.
When we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.